Junkie is on.
The three best friends you never knew you had. Running through the most viral stories of the day.
The News Junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
The News Junkie for a Tuesday, March 13th, 2018. A lot to get to today. From restaurants banning vegans for an interesting reason, to a classroom demonstration that was wildly inappropriate, and did Tom Brady actually chug a beer on TV? Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lane.
Hello.
How's everybody doing?
I'm dying.
I am too.
Yeah. I'm dying inside.
Why are we all doing this right now?
Yeah.
Because we love, giving a good product.
So we just poll the listeners, like, hey, should we just pull the ripcord here, hit the parachute button, and go into a best of?
I don't know, because what is better radio than one of us coughing up an actual lung at some point today?
Here's my real problem, and I'm being honest here. Do I sound as bad as I feel like I do? My head's so full of cold.
I couldn't tell you, because my head's so full of cold that I could barely tell if your voice is good and mine
as
well.
I understand what you're saying. It's very difficult to kind of determine if you're the one that's sounding weird or if somebody else does.
Right.
When your head's all stuffed full of this bad stuff. Not meaning to start off on this negative Nancy footing here, just being honest with the audience here to tell you what's going on.
Yeah, a little lift of the curtain there.
I did one of those long hacking I'm dying coughs last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what it's like right now to have abs, to have like a six pack of abs.
How is that?
Because my muscles where there would be abs are hurting from bending over and coughing.
And contracting.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like working out a little bit.
Oh, but I think I might be. I could be ripped or dead after this whole thing is over with.
I feel like I too am burning calories because I start to cough, and because I can't breathe, I start to profusely sweat. And my vision gets a little blurry.
Oh, I don't like that.
So I feel like maybe there's some calories being burned in the process.
Yeah, and Muffin Lady is starting to get more worried. People on Twitter are going, wait, well, you've been sick for 4 weeks now. I haven't been sick for 4 weeks.
Someone said 43.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been sick. What did they say, 43 days or 43 weeks? Because 43 weeks is like a year.
Yeah.
So long time. I haven't been sick for that long. And Muffin Lady says the other day, she goes, are you sure you're okay? You need to go to a doctor. And I go, I'm just not feeling well. I have a cold. And she goes, that's what your mom first said. And I go,
oh my gosh.
She's worried. I understand. But I'm fine. Everything's fine.
But that's a very, that's a way to put it.
Yeah.
You can't just say I'm fine. I mean, there's only so long you could go with the allergy stuff.
Well, it's not allergies. I had a throat situation that worked its way up now into a head cold. And it's working its way back down now, and on we go.
That's why you go to a doctor. Because
I know.
Give you medicine to get it out, not just a vicious cycle of sickness.
I know, and I thought I had some steroids that were held over from last time I did this whole thing. I didn't. It turned out. Let's focus on the things that are happening in the world other than the whining here. Some real, true things. And when does March Madness start is my question. Obviously, it is the month of March. I believe tomorrow or Thursday, am I right? Or is it Friday? Or at some point this week we get March Madness, because I was at the bar as they were doing the bracket selection.
Okay.
And my God, were the sports nerds frothing at the mouth over this stuff. There was like five or six guys just going, turn it up. Can you turn up the volume? And look, it was like me when there's a news event going on where I'll sit right in front of one of the televisions and I'll say, it'll be the one time when I say, can you put this on CNN? They were doing that. And these guys were watching. And I think some of them said, like, Thursday or Friday for the March Madness game.
That's what I'm looking at here, that you have until Thursday, 2:15 p.m. to be exact, to get your brackets all ready.
Wait, Thursday, 2:15?
I mean, sorry, 12:15.
So it means there must be a game shortly after that. It'll be the first time that somebody's actually playing, which is so weird because these teams had no idea who they were playing just a matter of days ago, and then they got to get ready, go against them, get in the plane. But over the course of time, that makes up March Madness, one of my favorite times of the year. I call it the March holiday.
That's right.
For myself.
It's better than Christmas.
People will bet over $10 billion on March Madness. And still to this year, we are so stupid as an economy and a country that none of it will be legal, except for the stuff I'm guessing done in Vegas and at sports books and that kind of stuff. 60 billion, I think, worldwide. 10 billion nationally is going to be bet on this March Madness action in basketball.
Why?
And all we would have to do is say, let's make it so everybody can have access and gamble on this online if they want to. Let's make sure we're not being predatory and taking advantage of these people. But let's make sure we're not leaving money on the table. If we focus more on the taxation of recreationalized drugs like marijuana and some of these other things out there, maybe even mushrooms, who knows, the market's much smaller for that. The taxation of some other things like this online gambling that everybody just does in the shadows, and we know that billions is passing around. Oh, my God! All the money that we could make all off of this stuff.
It would be amazing.
Why would we not do this? And there are certain companies out there. I don't think our company's doing it.
I declare bankruptcy!
Warren Buffett's company, though. Berkshire Hathaway. Oh, the cough syrup.
There we go.
Berkshire Hathaway, the bath company,
Berkshire Hathaway, the investment brokerage firm, and much more. They are doing a thing where if you turn in your bracket and you win, look this up. Can you guys, Warren Buffett bracket? Because I don't want to get the number wrong. I forgot how much money they said they would pay out to one of their employees, but they're letting their employees fill out brackets. And if they win, the employee gets paid out a whole bunch of money.
Up to $2 million a year prize.
$2 million a year? $2 million a year for the rest of your life?
Damn,
man. $2 million a year for the rest of your life. Do they do that here at iHeartMedia?
No,
we didn't get that.
But we should have just like, you know, one person from IHM doing the bracket over in Vegas. Maybe it could make up for some of the debt.
Yeah, I would like that. If we did that and we won the Berkshire Hathaway one, we might be able to pay back some of the stuff that's owed, that this company owes.
I think instead we've just given Ryan Seacrest at least $2 million a year for life without any brackets at all.
That's easier for him. We just got to keep it that way. Over on Stephen Colbert's show, which I have not been able to see much of, but Stephen Colbert had Tom Brady on last night. And allegedly, I say allegedly because I don't believe this was real, they did a beer chugging competition. Tom Brady, a guy who sprinkles electrolytes on all the food that he eats, is slamming a beer with Stephen Colbert. I don't buy it. I don't know what kind of trickery they were doing, but they suggested that that was happening. Here's how it went down. Let's see.
Say cheeseburger, pizza, beer, things like that.
You don't drink beer?
Rarely. Damn.
Not in a beer?
No.
Now I know he's.
I was pretty good beer chugger back in the day.
You were a good beer chugger?
Yeah.
Do you want to chug a beer? I'm okay.
This guy vomited so many times after this.
Again, this is for
the
kids.
Are we competing or are we chugging?
I don't know if you're a competitive guy.
Let's try.
Yes. Somebody time. Okay. How do we start this? Okay, so we just click and go.
All those carbs, Tom.
All right, okay.
Can we spill?
All right.
He's trying to show people he's not weird. And he wins, of course.
I laughed a little.
And he makes out with his son.
Right afterwards, with the milk mustache or the beer mustache
that
going.
That was good.
That was.
That was really good.
Oh. I don't know if I buy it, if that was real or not.
That and the other headlines I saw about Tom Brady's appearance was that he reluctantly tried a strawberry.
Yes.
Which seemed like a bigger deal than chugging a beer.
Yeah, but for the first time in his life, he tried a strawberry on the show. And you think, if you're that picky and weird about your food and your diet, I don't think you're slamming a beer with Stephen Colbert.
Man, he has really changed in appearance, that Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's looking kind of weird, is he not?
I mean, I don't know if it's the turtleneck or just like he's just so thin.
He's gaunt.
Kind of like a Scientologist look to him.
Yes, he looks like his life force has been sucked out of him.
Maybe he sold his soul to get another Super Bowl win.
I know they did on that Tom Brady, what the hell's the name of that show? Tom vs. Time on Facebook. They finally did show that thumb injury that he had during the Super Bowl, and he wasn't playing, man. It's bad. It was really a bad slice that looked like it almost halfway took his thumb off.
Oof.
We'll take a look at that. Let's put it on See It Now if we can. And the News Junkie app. It's way before lunch here. We'll be just fine. All right, we're humping along.
Let's hump
we're
along.
Hopping along.
Let's
we're
do it.
Hopping, hobbling along today. And we'll make this a thing we get through together. I think need a little of your help on a Share the Show Tuesday. I am just cough syruped out right now.
I don't know if cough syrup.
Did you bring some to share?
I don't think
it's working for you. You've been drinking cough syrup for like 2 weeks.
You think it's making it worse?
I'm on Mucinex D right now.
I got that too.
And that's what's like supposed to loosen everything up.
Yeah.
I took that. I feel a little weird too.
But. Allergy pills. I had a half a thing a Dayquil, which everybody else is making their medicine taste so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And Dayquil and NyQuil is still absolute garbage. It tastes like garbage water. They didn't do anything to make theirs better in the slightest. So,
yeah, but I drink Jägermeister, so like NyQuil and Dayquil doesn't really make that much difference to me.
A lot of similarities there. Back in a second with your dispatches and more. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Tackling sensitive subjects with unparalleled irreverence. You're listening to the News Junkie. Won't you follow me into the jungle?
Ain't no God on my streets, the heart of the jungle. Well, check out your dispatches in just a moment. And of course, I'm feeling under the weather. Well, we're all feeling under the weather. Sabrina not feeling so great. C-Lane just barely hanging in there.
Yeah.
All of us, right at the perfect time. I mean, here we are, still young, just ready to party, enjoy spring break. And now all of a sudden we're down for the count.
Spring break.
It's hard to party when your abs are hurting, not from getting them ready to go out to the club and be shirtless for the night.
Yeah. Right.
But just from coughing.
And you're out for spring break and you're like, hey, how's it going? All of a sudden you've hocked a loogie onto somebody.
Oh, I did that yesterday.
You did that? That's disgusting. I was kidding.
Not to anybody, but I coughed and like before my mouth got to the hand that I was trying to cover my mouth with, like one little chunk went flying past it.
That just made me throw up.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm amazed that Muffin Lady sleeps with me sometimes.
I was gonna say, did it hit a person?
No. I made sure it didn't hit anybody, and then retrieved it. It's not a good look all the way around. And spring break is the worst time any of this could happen. You've got mounted police all over South Florida, patrolling the beaches, particularly. And this maybe the biggest hot spot. I know it's long been a big deal. But is it really resuming the crown as the number one spring break spot, Las Olas in Fort Lauderdale?
Oh, really?
Is that a place to go?
This is the first I hear about it.
Really? Oh, Fort Lauderdale, isn't that where, and C-Lane is going to be my go-to on this. I don't know why he knows this stuff, but he does. MTV, when they did their spring break beach parties, was that in Fort Lauderdale or Miami?
No, that was Daytona Beach.
Yeah. Daytona Beach.
Yeah,
okay.
But they also did Key West.
When I was in college, the places to go were Fort Myers, Panama City, and Daytona.
Now, but Panama City has died down quite a bit because I guess they've really tried to crack down on the amount of drinks on the beach. That's going to kill your spring break. The amount of glass on the beach that's going to make it so people can't really bring their own stuff, and the amount of fights on the beach, which seems to be, judging by the YouTube and social media videos that I'm seeing, a real central point for all things spring break celebration. So tens of thousands of mostly college students from around the country are descending on South Florida, swigging bottles of vodka and whiskey, or guzzling tequila hidden in water pistols, while some had to be helped off the sand after becoming too drunk to stand up. They have a zero-tolerance policy right now towards drugs and alcohol on the beach, which is being violated right now.
Yep.
Yeah, every 5 seconds or so, that one's being violated. Trust me, they're doing it. They have canine dogs and mounted units on horseback, even on ATVs and such, all going down the beach trying to figure out what's happening and keep control of the crowds. Mostly they say what they see is misdemeanor stuff. You got drunk people fighting, and somebody's got like a radio out there blasting music. Are you allowed to do that? On the beach, are you allowed to bring out your own radio and just start cranking tunes?
I feel like you are. I mean, I've seen people with giant speakers that have become the DJs for the 20-foot radius around them.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can go to the extent of bringing a whole DJ set with
you. I feel like that should be banned. If they're going to ban it, I'm with them. I'm going to side with them on banning this. Because it becomes into a battle of the boomboxes. And somebody brings their little Bluetooth speaker, and then the people sit next to them, and they go, what is that little thing? Look how big my speakers are. And then the people go next to them, and they've got like a raging unit with 15-foot speakers.
Oh, yeah.
And now this one person is in control of what everybody on the beach listens to. It's like when the person with a Bluetooth speaker in their back pocket gets in the elevator with you.
Yeah.
Or it goes around the mall, which is something I've seen too. Not fun. Not a good time.
If you're going to take the role as beach DJ, then play music that everyone's going to enjoy.
Yeah.
Not just the same stuff over and over that sounds like robots are doing it.
Right. You got to play some really hip with it stuff. Like stuff like this that people...
Like the opposite of this.
People go, man, you are hip if you're playing some bangarang. Am I the coolest person on the beach, Sabrina?
No. No.
I hear it.
Can't hear it.
I heard it.
Yes.
There it is. Let's go to your dispatches, see what's on your mind. Here is Bloodmouth with the dispatch. Thankfully, one that's safe for work this time.
So how dare you call me inappropriate, sir? I post some pictures of some nipples so I can get some space bucks because I got plans for those space bucks. Let me tell you, sir, I need those.
All right.
When there are other gentlemen on here who shall remain nameless... Who enjoy posting? How am I inappropriate with a female nipple?
You're inappropriate with this very dispatch. You just said something you can't say. You were fine talking about nipples and other stuff, and then holding open other things. That's not good. So even your dispatch is not safe for work. Bloodmouth is on the verge of a lifetime ban.
No.
Oh, yeah. Mom. Right there, staring down into the volcano. Right at the precipice, about to just fall over for good into that volcano that is death in the dispatch world. And it's because of all these not safe for work dispatches that keep popping up on these submitted dispatches. And now this one. Now this. And who knows? Can I play the rest of this?
Probably not.
Let's see.
Well, so I can get some space bucks, but a man holding
up. All right. See, I knew I couldn't. I had to stop it right there. I knew exactly where he was going there. Very close, Bloodmouth. And once it's done, it's done. There's going to be no coming back from this whole thing. Keep your dispatches above board, please.
You hear that, everybody?
Here's the fallen Roman with the very first dispatch. Let's see how this one goes.
Hello, News Junkie. Long-time listener. It's first dispatch. Just want to say I love you guys' show.
Thank you.
I think it's awesome. Also want to say that I find it funny how people get triggered on these dispatches because of what someone says, whether it be a joke, but yet they're dishing out on everybody's crap on the side. I think it's funny that grown-ass men are doing this.
Yeah.
Let's just be mature. I mean, they know who they are, calling people out and stuff, so...
Who are they?
I mean, I thought we were grown and bigger than that, but hey, I guess not. Shout out to Jay Setback, Johnny Cocktail, and Bacon and Eggs. Love you guys. Love you, News Junkie. Have a good day.
There you go. Good work. Good job, the fallen Roman. Welcome on board. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sending in the dispatch. Here is Jeffy C with a dispatch.
I know it's never going to happen again, but if we ever do that stupid time change again, I'm definitely pulling me a C-Lane and calling out the Monday after.
Whee! They always say the Monday after the Super Bowl is the slowest work day. I feel like yesterday was.
Oh, it really was. And it was the National Napping Day.
Uh-huh.
And... I mean,
was it really?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you napped for the entirety of the show.
Did you get some naps in yesterday?
I pretty much napped for the entirety of the day.
Yeah, so you were following what yesterday's mission and modus operandi was to a T.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
That's why. That's why it's National Napping Day, because it just comes naturally to people. Everybody was feeling like that yesterday.
Well, they weren't feeling like some of the things I was feeling.
Well, there was other things going wrong?
Oh, there were things.
What happened?
There just are things.
There still are things?
Can't breathe things, oh, just congested. Yeah. And
not fun.
This is not a fun time to be in Florida. There's too many things going around. No, I heard these viruses and colds are spreading everywhere right now. It's just kind of unavoidable. Unless we get all, like, the Japanese crowd with all the doctor's masks.
And then you're going to try to do the voice. It's just going to shred the throat.
No, it's too tough now. Here's bacon and eggs.
This is Bacon King with a safe touch security traffic update. We got a disabled vehicle on Maitland Boulevard, a crash on I-4 at Parr Street blocking the left lane, and we got Church Street closed down for a vehicle that struck a pedestrian. I'm looking at you, Rick.
No.
Get triggered for my dispatch again, bruh.
Dispatch fighting going on.
God.
Everybody, it's Tuesday.
Relax.
Chill out a little bit. Here's Violet Panther.
Hey, Sean, Sabrina, C-Lane. You guys sound fine. Sean has a little sort of scratchiness on the back end of his voice.
Yeah.
But as a whole, you guys don't sound unusual at all.
Good.
Just wanted to give you that feedback. Hope you feel better soon. Bye.
Good. That's going to make Weekend Edition a whole lot easier. Otherwise, we're down in a hole here. Here's Mumbles.
You better watch out, home. Sounds like you're getting pneumonia.
No.
Come on, pneumonia.
Which Holmes?
Yeah, it could be anybody here. Here's funny name.
Hey, guys, you were talking about having to turn the TV up on this volume up on a TV in a bar to hear something that's going on. There's an app called Tunity where you just take a picture of the TV that's on, and it'll play the audio through your phone so you can listen to anything that's on TV and not have to worry about the volume in the bar. It's actually pretty slick.
Wait, what?
It's worked on every channel that I've ever tried it on, even some pretty obscure channels. It's pretty slick. It's called Tunity. Take care.
All right, let me try this. What did he say? It's called Tunity?
Tunity.
And how did he explain it?
He said that any channel that you're watching, you could hear the volume through your phone.
No.
Yeah.
Let me try this. All right, Tunity. All right, yeah, hear any muted TV. Oh, this would be useful as hell if this is a real deal thing.
Or you'll be the guy at the bar who has a phone to his ear.
Probably. I mean, it'll end up that way either word. God, I am just... Either words, I am cough syruped out of control right now.
I don't. Is this against the FCC rules?
Probably. I don't know if I'm going to make it through today.
Well, if you're not going to make it through, I'm not making it through.
Well, I think everybody will just run out of here if that's the case. We'll just all agree together to be done with this whole thing. Yeah, here it is. Tunity.
Wish we would have agreed that at 9 o'clock. Assholes.
Hear any muted TV by audio stream. I'm going to play with this and see if it works out.
Because CNN there.
Yeah, it's very, very cool if it does. I'll try that during the break. Back in just a second with why restaurants are banning vegans. A very interesting angle on this and a new trend that some vegans are adopting that you're probably not going to agree with. We'll see. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
At Real Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
What? Real. Radio. Real. Radio. 104.1.
Cooking up today's lead stories. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Very cool and very useful. Just tried that app out during the break that somebody had sent in a dispatch about, and not only did it worked pretty well. Now, I'm not sure how the hell it is legal and how long this thing will last for, but it absolutely works. And if you take a picture of your television, like let's say you're in the bar or something, right? And there's a 10, 15 TVs going, and you want to hear one of the TVs. I'm sure you've been to one of these places, Sabrina, where it's like a Buffalo Wild Wings or something, and they have like the little device in front of you, and you select the TV you want,
mm-hmm.
and then you can hear what's on that TV.
Right.
It's like that for everywhere.
Hmm.
And you just, like, I just scanned the TV for CNN, and then it tells me, like, a dialogue of what they've been talking about, and then it tells me, you know, what channel it is, and then it starts playing the audio that it actually syncs up with the broadcast.
Do you have to sign in with the provider?
No, none of that. You just have to create an account.
Yeah, it's definitely not legal.
It's remarkably close.
Yeah, it gets very, very close to syncing up with the actual television.
Right. We're talking about, what, CNN right now?
Yeah.
All right, this is what's on CNN. Book
on mesothelioma.
All right.
Call for the free book.
I'm going to switch to the other one.
All right.
Call 1-800-800.
That's the app?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Damn.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty close. And all you do is
than we have.
Scan it, and you can like listen. If you're sitting there at the bar and your team's playing on one of the TVs, that's kind of smart. Attunity is what it's called if you missed that dispatch. Thank you for whoever sent that in. That's pretty cool and useful. There are many restaurants that are now banning vegans. And when you see a headline like that, you go, well, you know, why? Is it because vegans can be a pain in the ass? Is it because their menus aren't suited for vegans, and they're tired of saying that they don't have any vegan option? It's none of those things. It's an active campaign by some of the more extreme vegans out there that's getting them banned from these restaurants. And it's a very weird thing that they're doing, but I can imagine as a restaurant how much it would piss you off. First thing they're doing, they will ask for reservations and even ask for a vegan order with their reservations. Now, they're targeting places that serve a lot of meat, and they're doing this on purpose. And then they'll fail on purpose to show up for those reservations.
Very nice.
And that means that they have saved a table spot, a reservation for a person. They have prepped food or even bought food to prepare for those people to be there. And then they don't show up, so they end up losing money. And places like a place called Oliver's, a place called Ben's Cornish Kitchen, and some other places are saying, we're catching on to this, and we're not going to be doing it. They're saying they're using things like Open Table as well, where they'll get together and they'll all reserve all of the tables in the restaurant, which serves meat, which they look down on, and they'll make it so nobody else can get in there and cost the place money.
See, this is the reason why we can't have nice things and why the vegan community leaves such a bad taste in people's mouths because of a few folks that are doing these extremes. You know, there's so many vegans out there that I know personally and that I've read up on that just have like health in mind. Or that maybe they are fighting for the rights of animals, but they don't go to these extremes.
Well, they're not proselytizing about it, and they're not trying to harm businesses by doing it, which is maybe the craziest part. Like, these are people with jobs out there. If you got a server or a bartender at a nice restaurant, and you as a vegan take part in some campaign to book up all the tables so they can't sell any steaks that night,
that sucks.
And then nobody's able to go to the restaurant because it looks like it's all booked up, but really, it's just your protest that's doing that? That's going to screw people out of money.
It is, but how are they going to ban vegans? I mean, if they... It's not like an Open Table you indicate if you're vegan or not.
No, you don't. They say, frustrated chefs are banning vegans from their restaurants after spending hours preparing special plant-based meals for diners who then failed to show up for their bookings. According to this publication, the problem of vegan no-shows is so serious in Cornwall in England that the High Tide Seafood restaurant has introduced a no-vegan policy. A second restaurant called Oliver's is considering taking a deposit for reservations because they have had the same issue. There's another place in Toronto called the Rising Sun that has had last-minute cancellations. So it's both a cancellation problem and a conspired effort to book tables to punish restaurants that go against what their wishes are as an organization or a loosely knit organization. And like you said, this is, I mean, Fritz was in on the show yesterday.
Right.
Well, C-Lane was out. Fritz, is he a vegetarian or vegan? I forgot.
He's vegetarian.
He's a vegetarian. Not some guy who goes in and goes, oh my God, are you having a hamburger right now?
No, not at all.
He's not somebody who would participate in this. He just does it because he wants to do it. He doesn't even tell anybody about it.
Exactly. But on the other hand, there's many a times where his way of life, his diet is completely ignored because nobody thinks about those things. I mean,
right.
There was like a company event not too long ago where the man didn't have anything to eat.
Yeah.
Because nobody thought, you know, maybe there's some people in this building that are vegetarian or vegan.
Yeah, I remember that. Was that the Christmas thing or after that?
I don't remember.
Because I remember there was a buffet and everybody was like, oh my God, it's so good.
Oh no.
And poor Fritz was like, poor guy. Nothing for him.
They're saying that people who are anti-hunting do the same thing with hunting permits. They'll pull hunting permits.
Oh, really? Because there's only so many?
Yeah, they only allow so many tags and so many permits per season. Ooh. And so they pull them and then just don't use them to try and save the animals.
Oh, man. See, I didn't know that this... It's kind of a clever protest, but it can really have a negative impact on some of these businesses and on people's livelihoods.
Why can't we all just get along?
I wish we could. But unfortunately, there's so many things happening and things are developing so quickly in this country that it's hard to grapple with all these changes, including the changes in our sexual lives. And I'm talking about the sex robot industry.
Segway.
Which is blowing up right now. There is a porn star, and I'm not saying this for any other reason, just to be honest with you. Every porn star name I read, I go, don't know who that is. Don't know who that is. Don't. In the 90s, there would have been like 10 of them, and I would have said, no, 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 no. I have never heard of Harriet Sugar Cookie in my life.
Oh, definitely not. There's a few that I know. There are
thousands of porn stars. It's not crazy that you guys wouldn't know their names.
Is it because there's categories now? Like there's cam girls and then there's porn stars? Like, hey, you're not going to know every girl with a camera in her bedroom.
Right.
Who's making money like this. And I've never heard of Harriet Sugar Cookie. But she's 22 years old and she runs her own adult movie company. And has won a raft of awards for her videos. The cam girl and model has been raking in up to $200,000 a year. Damn. With tens of thousands of adoring fans. And now she's going to make history. She's going to make the first porn with a sex robot.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in space.
No.
They already tried that.
I thought that somebody already did it. I mean, how has nobody had a sex robot porn yet?
Well, I mean,
they definitely have.
There's plenty of people who would argue that many vibrators either are or come very close to being sex robots.
They're not robots.
Arms they're and not robots. They're totally robots.
They're machines.
A machine is a robot if it performs a function.
There's a difference.
What is the definition of a robot?
Is a car a robot?
A car is a robot. Especially
you're just
a
saying
Tesla.
That because I so to argue that the vibrator
a
is
car,
a robot.
A car that relies more on electronics than on mechanical equipment, I would qualify as a robot.
I think a robot is something with a hard drive, the chip in there that makes things go, the right, brain
see.
Of it all.
Let's see what the definition of a robot is to get down to the bottom of this, because they say this is the very first adult film that will have a sex robot in it. And I can't believe that nobody's done that.
A machine capable of carrying out a complex series of actions automatically, especially programmable by a computer.
That's a vibrator.
Nope, a vibrator is you press it on and you press it off.
It's a complex set of actions to vibrate that thing and light stuff up, and there's some that are twisting around.
This is happening.
Let's see what the popular opinion is. Is a vibrator... There's going to be a lot of people who have searched for this, I think. Is a vibrator a robot? And that'll settle the whole thing. And what do they say?
Go ahead. What do they say?
There's a campaign against sex robots.
Okay. Not the question or answer we're looking for.
I was going to tell you what their thoughts were, but I'm not going to because it seems like they may.
Nope. It is an electric powered device which pulsates or throbs, and that's about it. There is no, you know, multiple
of course there
actions
is.
That are computed through programs.
How much money are you spending? Because some of them do a lot more. You can connect them to Bluetooth and stuff. Somebody across the world can control it.
Still makes it a device.
Well, now they're much more sophisticated, and Harriet Sugar Cookie is getting closer and closer with hers and wants to do a video with it. And they've done another one of these demos where they sit down and kind of talk to one of the sex robots. And the sexy talk is not good, but getting a little better. Here it is.
It's glad to make new friends, Harriet.
What's your favorite thing to do?
My favorite hobby is talking to you.
That's adorable. You're very pretty.
Thank you.
Thank you, Harriet. You're so hot, Harriet. I can't get enough of you staring at me like this. You're really turning me on.
Uh-oh.
You're really charming as well.
I am very happy to be awake and here with you.
Ooh, I mean, it's getting better. It's getting much more realistic.
It's going to be girl-on-girl action.
Yeah, I believe
I guess,
so.
For this robot.
Yeah, she's looking to make a flick with a cyborg as production and demand skyrockets. Asked whether sex robots might encroach on the porn industry.
Bean flick.
Harriet says, I hope so. I get to sleep in more while my sexy robot army works. I definitely try making a video with a robot just because of the experience, and I'm an oversharer. But Harriet thinks cyborgs have a long way to go before they can feature heavily in X-rated films. Well, I mean, is it even a porn if you get to the point that you have two sex robots going at it?
Are you masturbating to it?
Yeah, but just because you masturbate to something doesn't make it a porn.
That's true. Victoria's Secret catalogs?
This wouldn't be actual humans naked, so...
What defines porn?
We're learning a lot right here. This is a very educational... infotainment type segment for you folks, and I'm glad that you're learning along with us. I think that's a very important thing to do as we wander into the world of sex robots.
So printed or visual material containing the explicit description or display of sexual organs or activity tend to do stimulate erotic rather than aesthetic or emotional feelings.
All right.
I think that'll be porn.
So it's meant to make you feel horny. I think is what they were getting at there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's happening very soon, folks. I don't know if there'll be big interest in this, but if you ever go to any of these homepages, I can't remember what all these porn sites are called. X-Hamster.
You can't remember, okay.
Some sort of hub.
X-Videos, Pornhub, one of those websites. Whenever you go to the homepage, the stuff that they select that is based on an algorithm that they think everybody wants to watch really, truly disturbs me many times. So perhaps there is a big desire for people to see the sex with robot stuff.
It can't be the first time, though.
I don't think so. I mean, how is there's so many sex robots out there. There have been in all these news stories. Nobody's ever recorded themselves doing this?
Maybe
I don't find that believable.
The first, like, HD, fully produced porn
multi-camera shot, not amateur kind of thing.
A plot.
That would make a little bit more sense. Maybe that is indeed the case. When we come back, I want to talk about the battle against a particular pop star right now that's had many people going against him and many people rushing to his defense. The details on that. Plus, hey, Scientology TV was launched yesterday. What do we miss? Is there anything good on there? Is it weird? Is it what you thought? Details on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.
From Real
Radio 104.1.
The biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity. You're listening to the News Junkie.
One of the coolest things I've seen in quite some time, you know, Game of Magnets, if you haven't listened to the show for very long, is something that happens with magnets that are from the News Junkie officially. So if they have the News Junkie logo on there, they have numbers on there, only the first 1,000 were unnumbered. And there's lots of different designs. You get them at a lot of our events. The way it works, and can we get the disclaimer ready since we're talking about this, Sabrina, is you head out there into life and you search around for other vehicles who might have a News Junkie magnet on the back of their car, and nobody really owns them. We own all of them, and you're on a quest to get them when you see them elsewhere. If you see somebody with one on their refrigerator, that's a disgrace. It's not playing Game of Magnets properly. There are collectors out there, which I understand, but if you're just flagrantly putting them out on your refrigerator, shame on you. People get out of cars and jump to get them in traffic and do all kinds of dangerous stuff. So that's why There's a disclaimer for Game of Magnets.
Unofficial rules and unofficial Game of the News Junkie and Real Radio. We are not attached or responsible. Be nice and friendly when playing Game of Magnets, the unofficial Game of the News Junkie. Don't collect magnets. Must be on vehicle. Do not damage vehicle in the process of stealing magnets under penalty of severe super death, unofficially.
There we go. Super death was in there, too, just in case you missed on that. Mm-hmm. And I've seen these magnets go around the world. I've seen them at some of the most memorable, most amazing places out there.
It is pretty awesome. And I one of these days, want to put something together because people throughout the years have been sending us pictures of the magnets in all different kinds of places.
Yeah.
And the other day I met a couple that went to, I think it was like Alaska, but had one of our shirts on and just these like beautiful white mountain ranges. And they took our stuff out there. I thought it was super awesome.
That's awesome.
Considering that I've, you know, haven't gone as far as Vegas like one time,
and
that's it.
And with no magnets, no magnets to speak of. I didn't bring any either with me. And when we go out there into the public sphere, we don't carry enough of these things because people really love Game of Magnets. But the idea that people carry them along with them, C-Lane, you've seen this too, where they'll bring them to, I've seen them in China. I've seen them all throughout the UK. My favorite one, I have to say, a guy who sent this in yesterday, I posted it at facebook.com/thenewsjunkie, put the News Junkie magnet in the NASA launch facility. And it's like all this stuff where people have signed it and participated in missions over the years. And then there it is, right along with all of it, a magnet that says the News Junkie. I think it's an older one, too. Just looking at it, it's numbered, but it's low numbers. And it says Aloha Snack Bar. And there it is, right inside this NASA mobile launcher.
Fun.
A place where a lot of fun stuff and interesting history has started and certainly occurred. And I love it. I love seeing that stuff. Just be safe out there if you are participating in Game of Magnets. Everybody on the planet, I would think, is familiar with one Mr. Bruno Mars.
Yes.
I've seen him in person myself one time. You were just talking, Sabrina, about us being out in Vegas. I was out in Vegas one time when Bruno Mars was performing for the iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Lucky.
He's the tiniest little man in the world.
So talented.
He's like Prince's height. He's got to be maybe
right.
Very low fives, like 5'2", 5'3". He may be a little taller than that. But he's got more hits than anybody could imagine or dream of with a music career.
And so much money. And on top of it, like a successful songwriter. Isn't that what he started off with?
Yeah. He started just writing songs for all the other pop stars and wrote a lot of stuff that you've heard over the years. What's this one?
This is Finesse with Cardi B.
Is this the new one?
Oh my God, yes.
I haven't heard this yet. Let me hear this real quick.
Hey. Okay.
It sounds 90s.
Okay. Oh yeah. And the whole music video is a shout-out to Living in Color, which is the old sketch comedy show.
Oh, In Living Color?
In Living Color?
Yeah.
What did I say? Living in Color.
Yeah, like the Jim Carrey one.
Yeah.
They're talking about that on the entire album?
No. The music video for Finesse.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's all their different skits?
So he's at
just like the clothing.
A lot of really big pop songs. And sort of like a Motown kind of inspiration, would you say?
I would say. He loves to rock a fedora. I know that.
And he's skilled at playing different instruments. Got to be one of the best songwriters out there just in terms of his hit record. The guy's written songs that you've seen. I mean, so much so that like his discography, you know that they've had a lot of stuff. When it has its own page. He has like the album page, and then he's got like singles, Just the Way You Are, Grenade, The Lazy Song, Marry You, It Will Rain, just on and on and 24 on.
24 Karat Magic.
Billionaire, Uptown Funk. You know, people have heard of songs by Bruno Mars and his songs that he's written for a very long time, and he's been, I think, really well respected. So that's why people got a little upset when this video came out this week. Some group called The Grapevine, and it's a YouTube series that started a firestorm. You what now?
I never heard of them.
I hadn't before this, but this video has gone fairly viral, so I think it's drawn quite a bit more attention to them.
I've heard a lot of things through them.
Heard through The Grapevine? Yeah, I see. They had a video discussing whether Bruno Mars is a cultural appropriator or not. And like so many things that come into play here. First of all, I don't know about Bruno Mars's upbringing, but he's certainly black.
Yes. Well, his mother is Filipino, and his father is Puerto Rican and Jewish.
So he's not black?
He's not African-American, but a lot of people would say that he is Afro-Latino.
Well, whatever he is, they started going after him like he's some sort of... And here's a term you're going to hear a lot on things like this. And I've even heard our the morning show that they put on rap stations across iHeart use this a lot, too. Something called a culture vulture. And they'll act like anybody who is not black enough or dark enough or African-American enough for their expectations, whatever they may be, for them to do this kind of music and make money off of it is something bad, something wrong that they've done inherently in being successful. And at first, I just saw this cheered, this clip. I'll play a little bit of it. I don't know how much of this I can play because I know there's some curse words. But here's the video that's gone viral.
Bruno Mars 100% is a cultural appropriator. He is racially ambiguous. He is not black at all. And he plays up his racial ambiguity to be able to do what Jameer says, cross genres and go into different places. And you guys are bringing up Michael Jackson. Number one, me personally, like, I don't even think that Michael Jackson now in this day and age will be able to get to the point that he got previously.
Facts.
And a huge part of that is because people have realized that they prefer their black music and their black culture from a non-black face.
All right, but first of all, I mean, there's so many things already that I've heard that are just completely stupid and out of touch with what's happening, especially amongst youth culture. I mean, the stuff that's working in youth culture right now is completely the opposite of what this person just said. Saren Sensei, I think, is her name, and she's got a bunch of followers on social media, and she's part of this group, The Grapevine. But she goes on and on and on, and now, you know, he's terrible. I effing hate him. He's a culture vulture. It's cultural appropriation that he's putting out this music, and many, many worse things as the clip rolls on. I saw a DJ yesterday who had a, like, you know how people do the tweet storm of like 10 tweets and they're explaining things? And this DJ goes through and explains the whole history of how he was influenced by people and what music is all about and remix culture being a powerful thing and how turning this into, like so many other things, a culture war is a terrible idea. I thought it was one of the best things. I'll retweet that. I'll find out. I looked at it this morning. But for a while, this firestorm was people agreeing with this woman. And I couldn't believe that that was any kind of popular opinion out there. It's certainly not.
It's not. And there's a lot of people coming to his defense, including people in the industry. A
lot of musicians.
Including people. A black artist by the name of Charlie Wilson, who is accused, Bruno Mars of copying him, praised the musician, credited him with helping to bring back the classic new Jack and R&B sound of the masses.
Yep.
He says he's a genuine talent, pure and simple. In fact, he's one of the best we have had the privilege to enjoy in years and is already destined to be one of the greats. He is cut from the same cloth as myself and many other artists before him who work extremely hard on their craft.
Why sit here and make it about his racial demographics, the color of his skin? How about what the guy has done? He's been about as prolific as you can get. I mean, if I said, and maybe people won't agree with this, I don't care what background you come from. There's a lot of guys who this happens to from time to time. Guys who will pretend they're too cool for pop music, but you can watch them get impacted by it. Like if you go to a bar, could be like an Irish bar, a bunch of whiskey swigging guys, and that Justin Bieber song. What's the one that was so big last year you couldn't get away from?
Which one?
The one that's like a ballad of just the guitar and him.
Love Yourself?
Love Yourself. That song will come on, and all these guys will turn from the coolest, most macho guys in the room to singing along to that song.
I know I will.
A lot of guys do the same thing, and girl, everybody, to stuff that Bruno Mars says. It's impossible to not find some of it talented and catchy. And in my opinion, he's the closest thing we have to an all-around talent like a Michael Jackson right now.
Or
he can
Prince.
Dance, yeah, he can write, he can sing, he can play instruments.
And on top of it, let's also point out the fact that he has paid tribute to the black pioneers who inspired his music in the past. Said back in 2017, when you say black music, understand that you're talking about rock, jazz, R&B, reggae, funk, doo-wop, hip-hop, and Motown. Black people created it, being Puerto Rican, even salsa music stems back to the motherland. So in my world, black music means everything. It's what gives America its swag.
Yeah, I'm with him. I'm with the people who are now defending him. I think it's really stupid to dice things up on those lines.
This girl that's going off about it, what would her thoughts be on Eminem?
I don't know. Probably the same kind of thing. And the reason why is because it becomes your whole life. If you want to sit there and be identified by things like the color of your skin and you make that your entire identity and you make this whole being offended and always being put off by everything that you're about, you'll find the bad in all these good things. And I know that seems weird for me to say because I can be as skeptical and pessimistic as anybody else, more so. But why just sit there and try to find the bad in everything out there and how it somehow holds you back as an individual or in the greater sense of your being? It just doesn't. Scientology TV launched yesterday. It's off and running. I saw it's also streaming live on YouTube. It's on Roku. It's on Apple TV. It's
DirecTV.
It's even on DirecTV, which is the one that surprises me most. And they have got all kinds of programming already out there, and people are watching it. Initial reactions and some of the content when we come back. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio. Real Radio
104.1. Story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie. I'm learning a lot.
In the world of television, there have never been more options than there are now. In fact, I really think, and I said this for a while, there aren't many people who are just fans of a channel anymore. It used to be that you were a fan of a channel. You're like, I want my MTV. I love watching HBO.
Mm.
I like CNN. I want whatever. You like this, you like that. People are kind of pulling away from the brand as a whole in terms of one of these channels, and more just in terms of if you said, do you like TV? And they said, yes. And you said, what TV do you like? They'd go, I like this show. I like this show. I like the individual shows. They'll tell you, like Westworld, as opposed to the network that actually airs on.
Right.
There's not a lot of brand affinity, I don't think.
I think the closest would be my affinity for the Food Network.
Yeah.
But I don't watch some of the other programming that is similar on different networks.
Well, you know one of the reasons why? It's one of the only networks that still lives up to its name.
Yeah.
If you tune in, you're going to watch some food-related television. So if that's what you're looking for, the brand has that all together under one umbrella.
I would say Comedy Central has a good brand for itself.
Do they? I mean, what are they? I haven't watched a lot of Comedy Central. Adult Swim, I think, has faded out a little bit. That used to be very powerful for them at night. During the day, are they children's television? What do they play on Comedy Central even during the day?
You have your Adventure Time. You have your reruns of classic cartoons. But with Comedy Central, I mean, I think that the shows, you could see that at least the stars are being integrated a little bit on each show. There is harmony between each of them.
Like spreading the people out from one show to another, you'll see them appearing on different programs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as far as all that goes, they all have to deal with a new competitor out there. This competitor has deep pockets, and this competitor is now officially in the television world. The Scientology TV network has launched.
Yeah.
And it happened last night at about 8 p.m. or so, where there you see David Miscavige, 57-year-old guy who is the chairman of the board of a religious technology center. He introduced the Scientology Network. He said, we're not here to preach to you or to convince you or to convert you. And the round-the-clock television channel is not only on any app that you want to download, and on Roku, and on Apple TV, and on all that. But on DirecTV as well. You know how much just that costs? Just that per year is $4 million.
To be on DirecTV?
Just for them to be on this channel 320 on DirecTV, they had to pay $4 million a year to get their content out there on that.
Which is what? 5 memberships?
Yeah, with some of the big names that they have paying in. But that's $4 million a year just for that. for the TV thing as a whole, it's got to be almost a zero on the end of that. Production, staff. Now, I sent you the live link because it's live right now. And take a look. When I was watching it, it was sort of like a How It's Made. You've seen the show How It's Made, I'm sure, mm-hmm. where they go around and then they show you a factory and how somebody makes them. But with people who are Scientologists showcasing their businesses.
They're talking about Taylor Swift. Right?
Are they?
I zeroed in on the banjo player. And the very next thing I realized, it was one of our banjos.
This is a company that makes banjos, and they're also Scientologists.
We could not have had the success we've had today.
Look how good the production
without
is.
Without knowing Scientology fundamentals. That has been so much the foundation of everything we've done in business, everything we've done with our lives.
But probably more than anything.
So it's like a big, full-on thing with shows and with events.
Which is all just trying to get people to join Scientology.
Oh, of course. The idea that we're not going to preach to you or convince you or convert you, that's the whole plan. That's like saying your books. Our Scientology books, like what, Dianetics and this other garbage by L. Ron Hubbard?
Mm-hmm.
Look into L. Ron Hubbard. I mean, if you've never seen any of these documentaries, and it's hard to recommend one anymore because there's so many great ones on Scientology that lift the curtain. The Louis Theroux one, fantastic. Going Clear is a great documentary that'll show you all about this. L. Ron Hubbard, one of the most interesting figures in the last 100 years in this country. And the vision that he had has certainly been, I think, probably surpassed. And now they're trying to say, we want to head into the next generation by getting our own, well, let's call it what it is, propaganda stream out there to mix in with the other channels. Will people watch Scientology TV? I don't know, but the production, I'm not going to lie, it looks pretty damn good. Let's go to Casey with a dispatch.
Hey, junkies. I suggest you just fight off the sickness with a bunch of whiskey or rum, whatever.
It only works temporarily. Thank you, Casey. It works for like 5 seconds, and then you're worse off afterwards. Here's Enchilada Man.
Hey, Sean. Hope you get better soon. Lately, you've been getting sick a lot, and I'm just concerned about your health.
Oh, come on now.
Well, my concern is this. If you die, can I ask Muffin Lady out and sublet your apartment? Just being concerned for you. I hope you don't die, but if you do, can I get better? Bye.
You have to wait the cursory and respectable period of time of 2 weeks before pursuing any of that. I would expect at least that, Enchilada Man. And how am I getting sick all the time? I'm not getting sick all the time.
You're kind of sick.
I'm sick now. I was sick last week with a throat thing, and then I just had a voice issue, or maybe that was the week before. I think it just seems like it's been spread out forever because of talking 4 hours a day. I never really got completely better, and now I got something else. I don't know. I'm not dying. I think everybody secretly wants me to die or something.
Oh, my God.
You're
don't
sick
turn
all
it
the time.
That.
You're dying? I'm fine over here. I never felt better.
Yes, you have.
Never been better.
Coughing right onto the spot that you share with
don't worry, I clean
people.
This whole area up afterwards. I've got disinfectant, and it's better and cleaner than a hospital. Here's Jamaican for life.
Yo, junkies, what a goan. I'm just a gear 1-2 shout-out as usual. I'm bigging up. Still I enjoy the show. Realize I don't feel too well. Sean look like he might overdose himself, but I know nothing. It's just in the... I'm feeling better. Me understand, Sean. I watch a thing. You're good, man.
Hey, man.
Go on to your thing. At least you come in and I try to hold up the show, you know? That's the greatest. See you, Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know. In a year, can I go and keep it locked? Sabi cat.
Yeah.
You don't know. You are the girl. You are the girl in the radio world.
Oh, thank
anyway,
you.
Anyway, as me say, I just bless me a blessing up. Big up on yourself. Gone again. Till the next time.
All right.
Drop out.
Let Jah be praised.
Bye-bye.
I have no idea what most of that was, but it sounded cool, so thank you for that. Here's Smackerel.
Good afternoon, junkies. I'm sorry that you three feel real bad, and I hope you feel better soon. The show does sound good, so keep going, but if you do decide to pull the ripcord,
yes.
Please remember from the secret show that C-Lane does have experience in pulling the ripcord.
Yeah,
so that's what y'all got to do. C-Lane, man up. Wiggle, wiggle. Pop, pop.
Already a little queasy, sir. Thank you for that, though.
Keep secret shows on secret shows. How are you queasy? You had a great little lunch. I saw Subway dropped off a bunch of food.
Yeah, that was a lifesaver today.
I've never seen you guys disappear faster. I'm sitting here, and during the break, I'm like, let me get some dispatches ready, to get some stories going. I look down at my phone. Jack Bradshaw has group texted all of us, and gone to get some subs.
Because we've learned our lesson in the past. If we don't go now, then everybody else is going to take them.
Key thing that he said about that was, it's on the table in the kitchen.
Yeah, not in the green room.
No, it's going to be like animals. Was there anything left when you got there?
Yeah, there was plenty. This is, I don't, you know, often go in on the free food provided here at iHeart, but it's important when you're trying to get better that you eat food. Have you eaten today?
No, not yet today.
Okay, so do you want to just be sick forever?
Well, I mean,
you want to just tell people you don't feel good and not actively try to get better, Sean?
I'm not, what do you mean not try to get better? I'm taking all kinds of medicine.
Gummies don't count, man. You got to go further than that.
DayQuil, Mucinex.
A good breakfast.
The breakfast is not going to help me kick a cold.
You're not a doctor.
You're not a doctor either.
Yeah, but I know what it's like to get sick and then get better a couple days afterwards. You've been on this for 2 weeks.
It hasn't necessarily been 2 weeks unless you connect them together. It's a totally separate thing.
As opposed to what?
Unless you connect it together.
It's incredible how you twist this all up.
I'm not twisting anything. I'm just saying the idea that I didn't have breakfast this morning, which is I don't have breakfast ever.
Neither do I, but it's important
that
you...
your sticky rice.
No, it's too hard to keep up with that.
You get, you know, energy.
Yeah?
And that allows your body to fight off the bad things that are going through it.
I have all the energy. It's just that I'm dying. I mean, that's the real problem right now. Maybe I'll go get one of those subs.
They got the new wraps.
Oh, do they?
I've been seeing them on the billboards and thinking I need to go give them a try. Subway's in the rap game now.
Yeah?
Watch out.
A different kind of rap game than I'm thinking? Or
no, like the food rap
game. They have like sun-dried tomato wraps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They got the Chipotle steak and cheese, turkey bacon guac, rotisserie chicken Caesar. It's good stuff.
Oh, very nice of them to bring by some food today. I'll have to go check that out. Here is Al the Lawn Guy.
What's going on, junkies?
Hey.
First off, I would just like to say, dispatch guys, chat room guys, stop fighting.
Yeah, please.
Can't we all just get along? And to the person who stole my magnet off of my truck while I'm out just trying to make a living by cutting grass, how dare you?
Rude.
Your mother's a man.
Oh, wow. I mean, aggressive toward the end there. Al the Lawn Guy, though, upset over losing his magnet. It's something that happens throughout many journeys along the Game of Magnets trail. It's like the Oregon Trail with way more dysentery and a little bit more fun for just blasts of time when you can grab one of those magnets and add it to your collection. Back with more of your dispatches next, plus the next episode with Sabrina. When we return, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio. Real.
If it's important to you, it's on and probably being mocked by the News Junkie.
The next episode with Sabrina in just a moment. Wow, this is one of those moments where I wish everybody had the app downloaded and everybody was familiar with going to see it now. This is one of the weirdest things I've seen in a while. And this is a guy by the name of Tyree Jimerson of Biloxi, Mississippi, and he breeds reticulated pythons. So not only is he a weird snake person, I'm sorry, snake people. Snake people and bird people are weird. And I know that they'll argue that fish people are weird, and I'll take that. We'll all be in disagreement about it. But he breeds reticulated pythons, which is the next level of weird. He and his wife were helping a batch of eggs hatch, which, I gotta be honest, does seem like it would be a very Jurassic Park-y, awesome experience.
Mm-hmm.
If you were sitting there and there was this whole little batch
push
of eggs,
yeah, push,
and it's cracking, and you're like, you're hitting it with like a tiny little egg hammer to try to help out with the crack, that would be pretty fun. But out of one of the eggs comes this abomination, this weird baby snake, and this one had its umbilical cord, and Sealand, as I'm showing them this photo, that we're putting on See It Now are talking about this. I didn't know there was an umbilical cord inside the egg. I guess that makes sense, all right? I mean, I guess it's hooked up to some sort of feed sac in there for the snake. But when they pull it out of the shell, they notice that this python is totally different. It has two eyeballs in one socket, and it looks like a cartoon dragon. I'm not kidding you. It is one of the most bizarre things. Take a moment of your day. You will not regret this. Take this moment in time right now. Go into the See It Now section in the News Junkie app. I should make sure. Is it up, C-Lane?
Yeah.
All right. It's up and ready to go. If you haven't downloaded the app, search for The News Junkie in the App Store. Take this moment to click on that menu in the upper top left. Hit See It Now, which you should have always handy. So when we talk about something and it's a video or a photo during the show in real time like that, you can see what we're talking about. And you got to look at this thing. C-Lane's got a couple photos of it, I think. And it's very, very odd looking. This python with two eyeballs and one eye hole. I didn't see anything in this story that said whether it survived or not. Usually these things don't survive. Did you see if it died or?
He killed it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man.
He wasn't sure if it would survive, so he euthanized it. So it would be, you know, it wouldn't suffer.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it definitely wasn't long for this world. It's pretty funky looking. Take a peek at it in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app as we do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it, even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
I want to go back to my birth hole. Happy Mother's Day, bitch.
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina. Hey.
Are you ready for the next episode? Well,
that was intense.
Did I miss something weird?
No. Just talking. Just freewheeling
regular,
it.
Regular old Monday show.
All right. Mm-hmm.
237 years ago, the year 1781, Uranus was discovered.
That's true.
And that's the only reason why I said that. It was 23 years ago, in 1995, at the 9th Soul Train Music Awards, that this gal right here. Come on. Entertainer of the year. And I've given you a clue by saying gal.
Tina Turner.
1995.
Whitney Houston?
Incorrect. Come on. It's a hip-hop sound.
Mary J. Blige. Salt and Pepper.
No.
Oh, it's Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah's right. Two candies for you. Also, that same year, Brandy won Best New Artist and Best Rap Album went to Snoop D-O-double-G for Doggy Style. And that's a little throwback for all of you. Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he is planning to go to court. And to court, he is going to sue the big oil companies for first-degree murder.
All right.
Yep, and they're actually going to countersue him for Jingle All the Way.
Oh, they're going to win that one.
No, but really, he is more concerned with activism these days than acting, and I guess if you've seen some of his recent movies, you're probably okay with that. But the next project, he's going to sue all the major oil companies for murder.
All of them.
He says, knowingly killing people all over the world, this is no different from the smoking issue. So the tobacco industry knew for years and years and years and decades that smoking would kill people, would harm people and create cancer, and were hiding the fact from people and denied it.
He smokes cigars. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a cigar smoker.
He's just comparing it.
All right.
Hey, he's comparing it. The oil companies knew from 1959 and on, doing their own studies, that there would be global warming happening because of fossil fuels. On top of that, it would be risky for people's lives, that it would kill. I don't think there's any difference. If you walk in a room and you know you're going to kill someone, it's first-degree murder. I think it's the same thing with the oil companies. He says he's going after the oil industry hard. At the very least, he hopes to raise awareness and encourage people to explore alternative fuels.
He seems like a bad representative for this movement.
Why?
Because he drives Hummers and smokes cigars. I know he's just talking about the tobacco industry as a comparison, but
it's a hybrid.
All the things that he's into are what he's arguing against.
Well, maybe he's changing. Everyone's allowed to turn a new leaf. The truth of the matter is, if this helps people and it brings awareness and less people die, then go for it, Arnie.
Is his closest friends call him that.
Arnie, Arnold, Arna. Remember when Jimmy Kimmel awarded a jet ski to the Oscar winner who gave the shortest speech? Well, guess what? It could be yours.
All right.
The costume designer Mark Bridges who took it home with a 36-second speech, but he's already giving it up. He's raffling it off on omaze.com to raise money for the Motion Picture and Television Fund, which provides support and services for current and retired employees in the entertainment industry.
All right, hang on just a second. I had never heard of this omaze.com in my entire life.
I've mentioned it several times in the last couple of years.
I know. And in the last, not in the last couple of years, mostly in the last 6 months, I've heard all kinds of things about big, giant charity things. This must be some sort of Hollywood effort to promote this as a centralized charity auction site or something.
I don't think it's a bad move because you can donate one time and get one entry and have the same, I don't know, amount of chances. Or you can continue buying purchases, and then on top of it, all that goes towards a good cause, which is nice.
How do you spell it?
omaze.com.
All right.
Now, they say you could donate as little as $10, and you get 100 entries, but the more you donate, the more entries you get. You also win lesser prizes like merchandise or $1,000 in cash. And to the eventual winner, Helen Mirren sat on that. So,
there you
win-win
go.
For everybody. Good luck to those who want a jet ski from the Oscars. The dad joke is a time-honored tradition, is it not? I'm a huge fan, so is my father, and this may be my favorite dad joke of 2018 so far. Take this daughter. She cheats at Mario Kart. Nobody likes cheaters. Now, the dad will not let this go. Very likely makes jokes about it every available opportunity. Then he sensed a prime opportunity to take his brand of child-rearing humor viral, and boy, did he. Now, knowing his 13-year-old daughter, Vivian, is anxiously awaiting a response to her art school application, he deploys his joke at a heightened emotional moment and starts the camera rolling. She gets a letter, and she has not been accepted to the art school.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Didn't get it in.
Oh, read it out loud.
Thank you for applying to the Booker T. Washington High School for the Performing and Visual Arts. We have a record of applications this year. While you certainly stood out here, while your portfolio and audition were outstanding, another matters contour audition.
What a dick.
Right?
We regret that we cannot offer a position at our school to anyone. Would unpause a game of Mario Kart while her opponent was out of the room.
So she's laughing too much, but I have a copy here. Thank you for applying. While your portfolio audition were outstanding, another matter has come to our attention. We regret we cannot offer a position to our school to anyone who would unpause a game of Mario Kart while her opponent was out of the room. You're free to reapply in the future once you've learned to behave like a decent human being.
What a monster. Did you hear her? It broke her heart when she read that.
But then she started laughing, and then under the letter was the acceptance letter.
Yeah!
She got in.
Okay, if he would have done that without the acceptance letter, you're in monster territory.
Right. It's a win-win. She gets in the school. The payoff is his joke is secure, and now he gets to reference it in college graduation toasts and wedding speeches and every major holiday to come.
Yeah, till she's really, really tired of it.
And super embarrassed. Sean, do I have a TV show for you, my friend?
Yeah.
I am signing you up.
Survivor?
Fox is piloting a game where it sees a family of normal folk, maybe you and Muffin Lady and Dylan.
You said normal folk.
Versus robots.
God. I'm not confident in my
team.
That's
right. It's happening. Large scale physical okay, so maybe not the...
Well, I mean, what kind of physical contact are we doing here?
Physical contest.
Oh, like...
physical activities.
Like we're racing?
Like probably lifting things.
Oh, yeah. See, this is why I hate robots. I'm not going to win any of these.
Well, for anybody else, families compete against robots in a large-scale physical contest. They're working with British production company Tuesday's Child on Man vs. Robot, which was unveiled at INTV, the Jerusalem-based conference organized by Keshet. All these things.
Keshet?
Yeah. K-E-S-H-E-T.
All right. Are they on the side of the robots or against the robot?
I guess it depends if you want to win. The news came from Tuesday's Child boss Karen Smith, one of the creative team behind talent juggernaut Simply Come Dancing.
What
now, the
that?
Pilot Just came out of edit. It's been in development for more than 2 years. Sees families with competitive brothers and sisters and stay-at-home mom and dads. Four teams take on robots in a battle for supremacy. This is right up your alley. The pilot, which was screened at the conference, is going to be hosted by Dermot O'Leary, the British host for The X Factor.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's a little bit Tron, similar to Gladiators, albeit with machines.
All right.
They say we've created real-size gaming robots because we wanted to hook into how you have an emotional moment with robots. People are a little bit scared because this is a great big thing that is making its own decisions, and it might only be playing Pong against you, but it's a compelling experience to be with them.
I love the idea. I'll root for the humans always, but I don't think most people will. I mean, I've just gauged how people have reacted to things like, what's the damn robot, Westworld movie. Mm. People are actively rooting for the robots in Westworld, and I feel sometimes like I'm the only one rooting for the humans. And so maybe in this game, they'll root for the robots too. And
Here's a human you can root for. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, but can you teach an old dog to turn tricks? That's right. You sure can, at least in the case of Norm Self. He's the 83-year-old who just starred in his very first gay porn film.
Wow.
That's right.
He waited quite a long time.
He said it was just splendid, he told the HuffPost. How could it not be? I was in a blessed rural setting surrounded by a cast and crew of loving, competent, supportive brothers intent on sharing the good news of the healing power of pleasure. Sounds like the worst porn plot.
Yeah.
Ever. Now, in the video, Self, he calls himself a sacred intimate or a teacher who helps all individuals explore the healing power of pleasure, appears alongside two younger porn actors, and is shown fiddling his own flesh flute.
Okay.
Now, in a video posted to YouTube, he is recounting the moments in his life that have led him up to where he is now, 83 years old, starring in his first gay porn.
First time I ever masturbated was when I was about 12. I was a religious kid, good kid. I remember that when I masturbated, oh my God, it was like doors of heaven opened up.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, wham, the gates of hell opened up.
Both things at once, I don't know how to feel. Now, he maintains his sex life at the age 83, says it's the best it's ever been, takes issue with the general perception that seniors don't get freaky, because they do. Oh yeah. He thinks it's sad and destructive that our society has an image of elder human beings as sexless, because that is not the case. He's been a facilitator with at least three women and a great many more men in the recovery, restoration of their erotic sexual response, their joyful delight at the discovery that it ain't over until I say it is.
Isn't that just a fancy way of saying he's an old gigolo? He's got a lot of words, facilitator, like all these words he's throwing in there.
He goes on like rambles like this, which makes me not want to watch his porn.
Orgasm is le petit mort, the little death. I die to this uptight and anxious being, and that is the analogy for that orgasm.
Bye bye now.
Stop. Just keep doing the porn. And if you don't want to watch this man's porn, you could watch this guy right here.
Nick. Nick. Remember?
Probably saying every time.
Nick Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
Nick Cage. The Oculus Rift allows gamers to experience the virtual reality world. And now one Canadian film company is bringing a movie experience to the device. Nicolas Cage fans will be able to download the Humanity Bureau VR app to view the release of his latest movie and be all up inside it. It's an action thriller set in 2030, focusing on the condition of the world following the effects of global warming and recession. And then you put on the VR headset, the Oculus Rift, and you could actually be in the movie with him.
Whoa.
Which is pretty cool. They say the virtual reality app will contain 7 episodes that are designed to let viewers watch standalone side storylines that occur in the same world as the feature-length film. Also let viewers watch behind the scenes and the film's trailer in virtual reality, and then users could visit a recreation of one of the film's areas where they choose between the options available to them. They say the full release will be April 6th, but right now you could download the Humanity Bureau and get a little bit of the scenes, the teasers, and then come April 6th, you can be in the movie
cool.
with Nick Cage. on the boob tube this evening.
Real too.
Don't go watch TV. Watch me do comedy over at Savoy. It's going to be at 8:30. No cover charge. I'm going to be with Real Radio fam, Ross Padgett. He's going to be performing as well. Be doing a set. 8:30 Savoy. And then if not, you could watch Serious Mirror of Rise on NBC, Serious Mirror of For the People on ABC, the stand-up special of Ricky Gervais on Netflix, or Buddy Guy on Jimmy Kimmel. Have a great, great Tuesday, Chodes, and remember...
smoke weed every day.
Hey, so we're going to live trivia when we come back. If you want to play, well, now's the time. You pick up the phone and either dial us up or fire up the app. You can play both ways. The prize on the app to be announced very soon, some point during the show today. And on the phones, it's ready for you to jump on, 407-916-1041. Toll free, 1-888-978-1041. Live trivia up next with a news junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio. 104.1.
The kind of crew who types the word functioning in bold, italic, and underline. This is the news junkie.
Trivia in just a moment, and somebody else jumping in to talk about her experience in Hollywood, in this case dealing with some sexual harassment on the set of the TV series that's now become a gigantic movie series for Wonder Woman. The original Wonder Woman was, of course, Linda Carter, and she said, look, it used to be much worse on the sets of these shows and movies. In fact, at one point in time, she said a cameraman drilled a peephole into the wall of her dressing room. She says he was later fired for that. Regarding the aforementioned incident that and others that she fended off, she said she never reported them because, no, who are you going to tell? Who are you going to tell except for your girlfriends and your circle of friends? That's how you protected yourself through the grapevine. I always thought the peephole stories were just stories of legend, but again, this guy was... actually trying it out, and she says that was her experience on the set of Wonder Woman, the TV show. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
All right, it's live trivia for a Tuesday, March 13, 2018. Live trivia brought to you by our friends at Nations Trucks. Go see them at nationstrucks.com. Go see them on social media. Search for Nations Trucks. And if you want something as a big, bad, mean, or any kind of truck out there, this is where you need to go. Our good friends at nationstrucks.com. Seven questions. This is how it usually works. Two callers head-to-head. And you, right now, you're playing along on the News Junkie app, and you're... playing along for the prize of Universal Studios tickets for Mardi Gras, the celebration going on now at Universal Studios. Of course, being in our home studios, we don't have a complete computer with one button that just does that song. Let's get our players here, and we'll check out Toby Tucker. Are you there?
Howdy.
All right, Toby is with us. Toby Tucker and let's see, John Boy, are you there?
I am.
All right, John Boy and Toby Tucker, our players in live trivia today. Best of luck to both of you. Let's go to question number one. Elon Musk was speaking as part of a Q&A at South by Southwest over the weekend. When asked who he was inspired by, he said this person, Drake, Kanye West, Danielle Bergoli or Kendrick Lamar? Toby Tucker.
The third one.
You say Danielle Bergoli. John Boy, what's your guess?
West.
Rolling on to number two. Yesterday was a special holiday designed to help people get back on track. What was yesterday's national holiday that even C-Lane celebrated? Was it National Crapping Day, National Trapping Day, National Yacking Day, or National Yapping, I'm sorry, National Napping Day? John Boy.
Napping.
Napping Day. Toby, what do you think?
Napping day.
Just like that?
Actually celebrated 3 out of 4 of those.
Good for you, but oh, not good for you now that I'm looking at the names again. Number 3, in a bid to get more women drinking beer, breweries are now releasing this just in time for St. Patrick's Day. Is it beer in a vagina-shaped bottle, pink beer, glitter-infused beer, or anti-roofie cans? Toby Tucker.
It's answer number 3.
John Boy.
Pink.
Number 4, a new bill in California is aiming to make the license process a little less painful by allowing drivers to do this. Choose their license photo, Photoshop their license photo, use a filter for their license photo, or use a caricature for their ID. John Boy.
Choose.
Toby Tucker.
Yes, answer number 1, please.
Number 5, a nun embroiled in a real estate battle with Katy Perry over the sale of a Los Angeles convent was in court for an appearance related to the case when this happened. Did she attack Katy Perry? Did she die? Did she defecate on the stand? Or did she ask for Katy's autograph? Toby Tucker.
Number 2.
John Boy.
Autograph.
On to the final 2. The controversial Church of Scientology watched their own TV network yesterday on DirecTV and several other services. What's it called? CRZY-TV? Dia Netflix? Scientology TV and XenuTube. John Boy.
Scientology TV.
Toby Tucker.
Number 3, please.
Number 7, the final question. Yesterday we learned on the DVD release of Borat, there's a language option for Hebrew, but when you choose Hebrew while watching Borat, you get a warning screen, and it says what? La 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 la, my wife. Does it say, no gypsy tears for you, homo? Does it say, you've been trapped, Jew? Or does it say, I like to make sexy lines for reading? Toby Tucker.
Answer number 4, please.
Okay, John Boy.
La, 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 la.
My wife. All right, there we go. We'll put you on hold. We'll go over the questions and the answers, and we'll crown ourselves a victorious winner here in live trivia today. Toby Tucker facing off against John Boy. And all of us nearly on our deathbeds through this whole thing. You ready to go through these, Sabrina?
Yeah.
Here goes nothing. Number 1, Elon Musk said, this is my inspiration.
Toby Tucker said, Danielle Bergoli, cash me outside, how about no? It was John Boy that said, Kanye West, and I'm going to let you get this point, but first, get this point.
Danielle Bergoli's mine. She's made millions of dollars. She's got all of the social media followers on all the social media platforms.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, y'all seen it?
Just really winning at life right now. And all you have to do is be a terrible human being. Question number 2. C-Lane celebrated a bunch of these days yesterday, but which one was the official holiday?
Both the players said National Napping Day in that answer.
So you celebrated National Napping Day?
I mean, it wasn't the celebration that you would think it was.
And you celebrated National Trapping Day.
No.
National Yacking Day.
A little bit.
Yacking and crapping.
National Crapping Day? Oh, man.
Wow. I did 2 of those in the same room.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
It's a rough day. Number 3, in a bid to get more women drinking beer, they're releasing this.
John Boy said pink beer, and that answer's like totally not right. It was Toby Tucker that said glitter-infused beer, and that answer was right.
I don't want any glitter in my beer, and I don't think women do either. Maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe this sells like hotcakes. Number 4, in a new bill in California, they're going to let drivers do this.
Both the players said choose their own license photo, and that answer was tubular.
I could see some of these other ones happening. Maybe not Photoshop their license photos, but I could see use a filter. Like, you take a picture, and there's a screen in front of you, and you scroll through, like, Cephea, and then all these different filter options. That's the future. You pay more money for a filter, and the government makes some more cash because you look a little sexier in your photo.
Why not?
That could work. Number 5, Katy Perry was in a court battle, and a nun who was in the courtroom did this.
John Boy said, ask for Katy's autograph, and that answer was hot and cold. Nah, mostly cold. It was Toby Tucker that said she died, and that answer was right.
The Church of Scientology launched a TV network. What's it called?
Both the players said Scientology TV, and you two are Tom Cruising for a win.
Dia Netflix is a fantastic false answer.
Yes, thank you. Good.
Number 7, yesterday we learned on the DVD release of Borat, if you choose Hebrew, it says this.
It was John that said, la la la, my wife. And that answer was not right. And it was Toby Tucker that said, I like to make sexy for reading. And that answer was not right. Correct answer was, you've been trapped, Jew.
Oh, okay.
We do have winner live trivia. And that's Toby Tucker.
All right. Congratulations, Toby. You are the winner of live trivia today. Hang on tight. We're going to get your information, set you up with a prize you're choosing. We got some great prizes today. And those of you playing along on the app, we're going to look at that scoreboard because at the end of the week, somebody's getting a pair of tickets to Universal for Mardi Gras and the celebrations there. What do we have for prizes on the phones today?
Today, I have a pair of tickets to the Daytona 200, America's most historic motorcycle road race. This Saturday on St. Patty's Day at Daytona International Speedway. And then the Mardi Gras tickets you mentioned.
All right. Those are up for grabs. If you'd like those today, Toby Tucker, enjoy. Let's go over to the scoreboard in the News Junkie app.
At the top spot, username, followed by B. Dillinger, Ask Holio, I Love Sabrina, the Dita, Laserblade, Took My Chevy to Levy when the Levy was Bry, Panda J. Loon, Fancy Nancy, and Vamos...
Your voice.
Cactuar.
Vamos, your voice.
That too.
And the final, it's just because, you know, things are a little tougher today than normal. What's the 50th position? Who's holding that spot?
Not a native.
Not a native. Congratulations. You're just barely good enough for the top 50. Everybody else, get on your A game. You can still jump in there and win those tickets to Universal for Mardi Gras. When we come back, the most disturbing story of the day, a classroom, a teacher, a demonstration that never, ever, ever should have happened. You're not going to believe this. Stay where you are. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
He's smiling, and that alone should scare you. This is the News Junkie.
Oh, this is disturbing. I think it's weird. There's some people arguing that this is nothing but a good lesson by a good teacher teaching kids about the circle of life. I'll toss it out there. Tell me if you think it's a good lesson or if you think this was inappropriate happening in a classroom. And generally, I side with teachers, and I side with teachers not only on the fact that they have to deal with pain-in-the-ass students, but also on the fact that I like creativity in the classroom. When I think back, and I don't know about you, Sabrina, but my moments in middle school or even in high school where I found a teacher that I really liked, they were always creative, different, and came up with really interesting in-class assignments to do.
1,000%.
Some fun and different.
I was a very distracted child, and I earned my class clown title with pride. But that being said, the classes that I enjoyed the most were the ones that I was fully engaged in, and I was fully engaged in them because the teacher taught well, and the teacher did activities and taught these lessons in a way that I didn't, you know, have a chance to try to be funny or act up because they were that good at what they did.
You were entertained. More so than just being educated, there was an entertainment factor there. And Celia, I know you went to a bunch of different schools. Did you go to any schools where they did science experiments in the classroom?
Once or twice.
So they mostly didn't do that. Yeah. I mean, for me, when I went to the Christian school, Berean Christian, when I went there for like a year before I got booted out of that institution, and they were right for doing so, I wasn't a good fit for that school. But when I was there, that was the most dissection or any kind of weird stuff I'd ever done in a classroom, was at that Christian school. And I don't know if that's just because I was at that age where you do this kind of stuff, but it also seems like the science class is ground zero for this stuff. Now, this happened at Preston Junior High School, and a teacher by the name of Robert Crosland has taught science at this school for years. Now, the superintendent says his administration became aware of, quote, a regrettable circumstance involving some of the biological specimens. Now, this science teacher, he's got some interesting stuff going on. In his classroom, he has a bunch of snakes. He has all kinds of reptiles and stuff. But he has a bunch of snakes inside the classroom that the students talk about from time to time, exotic and otherwise. And these exotic animals are in tanks around the classroom. And in the classroom, he fed a puppy to a turtle that he had there.
What?
In front of students. He had a snapping turtle. And if you've never seen a big snapping turtle, you may not understand how this is possible. I'm talking about a big old alligator snapping turtle.
Yeah, they could definitely eat a puppy.
Yeah, their mouth is big enough that they could take off your wrist. You know, they're big, big animals. Yeah,
to one of the students.
Yeah, they could definitely harm the student if it came down to that. But they said that he brings out this alligator snapping turtle, and he feeds a puppy to it in the classroom. And some of the parents heard about this and just spun out of control. A teacher defends himself. He says, look, the puppy was sick. We want to make use of the animal. This is a lesson to the kids. It is a circle of life kind of thing.
Is it, though?
If this was in the wild, maybe this sick puppy will wander over by the water's edge and the snapping turtle will bite the hell out of it, eat the animal. And
yeah, it's still kind of cruel to the puppy, even though it was sick. He should have, if he wanted to, I mean, this is even worse, and so they'd probably be even more mad, euthanized the puppy and then fed it to the turtle.
Well, they're not clear on whether the dog was dead or alive at the time of the feeding to the snapping turtle. But it did happen after hours, not during class, but with students present. And that's why everybody remains upset, because the students were there.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you're going to pull the circle of life card, in the wild, would a snapping turtle target a sick puppy?
I guess if I get an
animal that's weak, the prey that is weak, but animals typically won't go eat a diseased animal because it would get themselves sick.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be aware enough to determine that kind of stuff. Sometimes they are. Yeah, sometimes they'll go, that thing doesn't look healthy, and so I'm not interested in eating it. The event occurred well after students had been dismissed. It was not a part of any school-directed program. We emphasize that at no time was the safety of students or staff compromised. So here's what I would say. All right, and here's why I do kind of have a mild problem with this. It's all about the way it was presented. He didn't need, by any means, to feed a puppy to a snapping turtle in front of kids. And that's the direction he went. It sounds like almost for the shock value. And I would also argue that if you have students in your classroom, that should always be treated like class. Whether or not it's after hours or whatever, you know, that's a totally different thing. But if you have students in your classroom, you better treat it like it's class. Better treat whatever you're doing, and they don't go, oh, yeah, you know, I brought out the whiskey and had a couple of swigs. It wasn't during class. I'm just sitting in here after hours, and the students happen to be there. I would treat every moment like that, like it was active instruction in the classroom. So they're looking into this now. He has not been cited or charged and has not been placed on leave. Hang on, I got some more details about exactly what happened here at this school. But is it a good lesson, or is it just terrible to feed a puppy to a snapping turtle inside the classroom?
Happy birthday!
All right, hang on, I think wrong clip. Hold
on. Singing happy birthday to a turtle while feeding it a puppy? That is morbid.
Where is this? I have it, I swear to you. Hang on just a moment. Here it is right here.
Teacher is named Robert Crossland. He's been teaching here at Preston Junior High for several years. And according to some parents I talked to, feeding live animals to his reptiles in front of students is nothing new.
Right, so he's done this.
What I have learned in the last 4 days is disgusting. It's sick. It is sick.
Local animal activist Jill Parrish is the one who contacted police after a teacher contacted her last week about an incident involving Preston Middle School science teacher Robert Crossland.
I'm not going to allow this to be swept under the rug because I know exactly how it works in small towns.
This lady is pissed off about what happened in this classroom. She's an animal rights activist. She's going, you take a puppy out and you feed it to a snapping turtle in front of students, and you can't defend that. There's no defense of this. And she's saying that, I'm not going to let this be swept under the rug. I'm going to make sure people know about it.
According to Jill, it was after hours on Wednesday when Mr. Crossland fed a live puppy who was reportedly sick to one of his reptiles. He has a snake and a snapping turtle. Apparently, teachers could hear the puppy screaming from across campus.
Oh, my God.
It all happened in front of students.
So
allowing children to walk.
Yeah, okay, that would go to suggest that the animal was alive if they did, in fact, hear the puppy screaming across campus. And if the kids are all sitting in there wide-eyed and this puppy's yelping as your snapping turtle chops it into bits.
That's animal cruelty right there.
That seems a little rough.
What about live rat to a snake? Would that be as bad?
I wouldn't have an issue with that. I would have more of an issue of it not being in the context of a lesson to the students. If it's like, hey guys, check this out, and you're winging the rat around by its tail, throwing it in the cage, that you're just doing it for a whole different reason. If it's done as part of a lesson, that's fine. But when it seems like this was like an animal fight club, they put a little sick puppy in the middle, and then you got a snapping turtle and a snake on one side or the other, and they go, all right, let's have them battle it out for this sick puppy. And everybody in the school, if that's a true piece of the story, who knows what's what, is just listening to the animal struggle. That sounds a little bit rough to me.
An innocent baby puppy scream because it is being fed
puppies
to an animal.
Babies.
That is violence.
Baby puppy.
That is not okay.
I can tell you, we've got numerous calls. Yeah.
Franklin County Sheriff David Fryer says the department is looking into it.
We're investigating the facts and turn over to the prosecutor, and he's the one that will determine if the law has been broken.
And the Preston School District superintendent sent out a statement saying they're aware of a regrettable circumstance involving some of the biological specimens at Preston Junior High.
Man, is that the most sanitized statement I've ever heard. We're aware of an unfortunate circumstance involving some of the biological specimens in Preston Junior High, a.k.a. sorry about the dog getting gulped up by the snapping turtle in that high school with the kids watching in class.
But this is literally animal cruelty. I mean, we've talked about cases in the past where somebody has fed a piece of firework to a dog, and because it died instantly, it wasn't considered animal cruelty. But
right.
If this was a dog screaming and it was a slow, painful death, and that's animal cruelty, is it not?
I don't know what the laws would be on that. Because now you've got a situation where people have pets that they feed other animals to. And you might have pets that you feed other pets to. And so is it about if the animal is sold for the purpose of being fed like that? Or is it about if you have a giant snake, for example, and instead of going to get a feeder mouse from the local pet store to feed it, if you go and find some other animal that may be under your ownership or whatever, and you feed that animal to your snake that wasn't supposed to be designated as food, are you breaking the law? I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. If it is, that's definitely what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I doubt there's like a sick puppy section of the store where this guy goes through and says, let me grab one of these and throw it in the cart, and then let's feed it to the animals. And I want to know, like, how big was this puppy? There's a lot of weird questions
I have.
How
big was this turtle?
Yeah, the turtle must have been huge. And then the turtle's big enough to eat a puppy, but in the classroom with
yes,
these kids?
That'd be my number one concern.
And the snake as well, you know, just in the classroom at that size? I have a lot of questions. Hang on.
He went on to say, while the district certainly does not condone individual actions that may violate district policy or reasonable expectations of behavior, we hope that any errors in judgment made by a teacher in this instance will not cause us to forget the years of care, effort, and passion the teacher has given to students in Preston School District.
It sounds like they're defending
him. You can be a good person and you can be a good teacher. What you did is not okay and it is against the law.
She is angry.
Well, thank you for telling us.
She is not letting this go. So we'll see what happens to this teacher. We'll get your thoughts on whether you think that was just a good lesson or whether this guy was just completely out of line and showing this to the kids in the classroom.
It was a terrible lesson. I don't think that there's a question of that,
well,
just if it's right or wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's another point to be had there. The lesson itself, if it was about the circle of life and about animals eating other animals, that doesn't sound like a great way to get that lesson across. So if you wanted to teach that lesson, to your point, Sabrina, you could have done it in a million other ways that nobody would ever had a news report about. Nobody ever would have been angry about or up in arms about. and this would have just been another lesson or story that happened in your classroom. That's not the case here. That's not the way this worked. Quickly before the breaks, this is just a disaster. Now nationwide for Kentucky Fried Chicken. They should have just stayed in Kentucky. They should have just stayed in the United States. In the UK, they can't get the chicken out there. They had to go back to their old supplier. Meanwhile, they're killing people in South Africa. A 13-year-old boy has died after being crushed by a trolley of frozen chickens outside a KFC in South Africa. A metal cage trolley fell off the back of a delivery truck when its safety brake suddenly failed and smashed on this kid.
They're having a bad run.
Yeah, they're not doing well with the publicity as of late. This guy was nearby, a 51-year-old, said he and his colleague had turned the boy away, but he decided to stick around and watch us working. The trolley loaded with KFC spices, flour, and frozen chicken was about to be lowered when the safety brakes failed. It squished the boy. People tried to help him, but he suffered severe injuries and ended up dying. A KFC spokesperson told the website the incident is being investigated by police. The fast food chain is fully supporting authorities. Man, could they use some good news. KFC is just dying for it. When we come back, your dispatches, plus a woman, a rock, and a big controversy. What's it all about? Details on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook, brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
From Real Radio.
Because you're never too old to learn something stupid. This is the News Junkie.
I keep a rolling where the battle wind blows. I keep a running, but the trouble follows. Ain't no telling where I'm gonna end up. This lucky penny's been nothing but bad luck.
More of your dispatches in just a moment. I don't know what it is with Asian culture and penises. Specifically in Thailand, South Korea, we've seen that at the Olympics too, right? People who were in South Korea for the Olympics going over to that park with all the penis structures and taking pictures. You may have seen it in some of the viral news stories out there. But there's a bunch of them in Thailand as well. And there's one in particular on this vacation island, and it's called Grandfather Rock or Hin Ta. And it's a gigantic rock shaped like a penis. And that's exactly what it is. It looks exactly as you would imagine.
Naturally?
Yeah, just a naturally occurring penis rock. And they kind of worship this in some way. They find it to be sacred. And in the Thai culture, you wouldn't mess with this. You would risk getting in some significant trouble for the disrespect of said penis rock. There's a woman who's in this photograph, and she might be, she either is a porn star or just has a porn star-ish body. And she goes over to the 12-foot sacred rock shaped like a penis in this island in Thailand. And she starts rubbing herself all over it.
Oh, yes. Which probably was not the first time or last time, but this is the first time that's actually caught on video. Let's be completely honest.
I think it was... it might have been a video. We at least have the photos up on See It Now, so you could take a look at this if you want to. It's pretty unbelievable. You see her ass as she's shimmying up to a 12-foot rock shaped like a penis, and police are now looking for her. Residents are furious. They're saying that she should be arrested, and she should be made to publicly apologize for the event. You can see exactly what I'm talking about on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. To some dispatches, here is Heather.
I definitely recommend the Scientology program that was on A&E with Leah Remedy. It is so weird, and like you want to stop watching, but you can't just because like it's hard to believe all this stuff that happens. But in my personal opinion, I feel like Scientology is definitely not a religion. It's more of a billion-dollar industry.
Tax all of this stuff. That's why I said at the start of the show, here we are ready for March Madness. Billions of dollars about to be spent, all of it illegally on gambling, or a vast majority of it illegally on gambling and not taxed because we don't feel like getting involved with that. Go for it. Tax it. Tax these charges. When you see Scientology, my God, go to the headquarters in Tampa or Clearwater, really. Go to any of the other buildings that they have. They're massive. They have property. They have money. They have all that they could possibly need. Certainly enough to pay some taxes. They used to do it. They should have to do it again. Here's Tyler.
You know what magnet doesn't get stolen? An Orlando Magic magnet. That's it.
It's just rude, Tyler. Just rude for you to say that.
Also, did you zip up your zipper right before?
You know what magnet doesn't get stolen? An Orlando Magic magnet.
He had just got done peeing.
Yeah, or that pleasuring himself. And he's like, oh, I just thought of a dispatch.
That's right. I could send over the magic one. Here's Johnny Thunder.
Look, Burrito Bill or Taco Tim, whatever your name is, everyone knows Muffin Lady's mind when Sean goes. Sean, come on, man, get with it. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, man.
Oh, please.
You gotta get with it. Get with the breakfast, man. Get better.
That is just built into our heads. We've all been brainwashed. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I mean, it probably is. It's not helping me out that I didn't eat breakfast. I can't argue that right now. I am just barely hopping along here. Here's Charlie.
Listen up. Ow, I took your magnet. And yes, my mother is a man. She's got a larger peen than yours. I know. I've seen it.
Well, I'm glad we sorted that all out. Well, one more for right now. I have so many dispatches piling up. Here is this speedy weenie with the very first dispatch.
This teacher who fed a puppy to a turtle sounds like the same mentality of the guy who shot his daughter to demonstrate gun safety.
Some people really upset about this story, about the science teacher who, in the classroom after hours, had a puppy. Now, some people say it was alive, some people say it wasn't.
If you could hear the screaming, then it was alive.
Yeah, if that part of the story is true, then it would have to be alive. Sarah emails, what is wrong with you? Why would you ever go with the puppy story? You ruined my day and I'm sure my week. What is wrong with you? She says, so sorry, Sarah. You should be a little more bulletproof than that, though. I mean, maybe ruin your quarter hour. We'll be right back to it, and we'll be on to something entirely different in just a matter of moments. Speaking of that, let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention
before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass.
You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Jury duty brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm, DeWittLaw.com. 1-800-DeWitt-Law is the phone number. Now, you can both call and text that number, 1-800-DeWitt-Law. Ask, ASK, at DeWittLaw.com is the email address. When you get into an accident, remember the personal injury attorneys that you're looking for. They're at the DeWitt Law Firm. So 1-800-DeWitt-Law, put that in your phone. Just save it for now. Coming this week, actually tomorrow, we're going to start seeing these protests as schools empty out. 10 a.m. is when it begins and then goes as the time zones roll across the country. Both high schools and middle schools, it will dominate the media's coverage tomorrow. And you're going to see a lot of aerial footage of these kids in lines and, you know, outside their school and gathering in groups and giving speeches for gathered media. It should grab quite a bit of attention. Also, in front of the U.S. Capitol, they are dropping shoes. 7,000 pairs of shoes. And that is supposed to dramatize the number of children killed in the United States by gunfire since the 2012 Sandy Hook school massacre. Not even a fraction of those, well, barely a fraction of those killed in actual school shootings, but they mean overall gun violence or gun-related activity has resulted in 7,000 deaths, thus represented by the pairs of shoes they have there. That's what's headed for us tomorrow. We should dominate a lot of the conversation throughout the day, at least on your news networks, etc. And back to Texas in Austin, where they're just trying to have a good time and have a little South by Southwest fun, but they're still investigating what the hell is happening with these parcel bombs. They blew up at multiple homes. They've killed at least two people we know, and they appear to be from the same person. Details on the latest here.
Yes, in the first two, what we had was the victims came out on their porch in the early morning hour and found the packages on their porch. And when they picked them up, or in the second incident, when they brought it inside and opened it up, both of those packages detonated. The one that happened this afternoon was in a little bit of a later hour, but under the same circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, we pointed out you were out there telling people what to be cautious of. You know, your heart must have just sunk when they said to you, Chief, we got another one. There's a 17-year-old boy who just died. One exploded in his hands.
Jeez.
Yes, I can't explain to you what that feeling is like, yeah. Because we're trying to get the message out as quickly as possible, letting people know that based on what we had happen on March 2nd, which we thought at that time was an isolated incident, and then what we had happen this morning, we realized the importance of getting a message out and getting it out quickly, and in the process of getting that message out, to hear that we in fact did have a third incident occur was very troubling, given that we've now lost two lives.
All right, so they're looking into why this is happening. Who is behind this? Is it terrorism? And they have no idea, really. They found that the first two victims were African American, and the latest victim is a Hispanic female. So they just don't know. You know, why are these people being targeted? Why are they using parcel bombs to blow them up?
But they definitely know that USPS and UPS and FedEx had nothing to do with the delivery of the packages.
No, they said all of these were hand delivered. So somebody dropped them off.
Yeah, but that being said, they should be able, with streetlight cams and timing, to get some, like, to narrow down a car or person.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised they don't have more info. They probably do. But I'm surprised that they're not going public with more info.
Well, it is a smart move considering the person is still at large and they don't want to give out that much information, but people need to be aware.
Yeah, I wonder if they have any photos of what the packaging looks like, or did it just explode to such an extent you can't even tell? Because you would really want people to go, hey, if you see something that looks anything like this on your front step, stay the hell away from it. Because it is incredibly, not only dangerous, but deadly. When we come back, another time traveler has surfaced, folks.
Ooh.
This time from the year 4000. Oh. And what does time have for us? Well, an exclusive peek from this time traveler at the technology of the future, 3000 and beyond, all the way to the year 4000. We'll see if we believe this individual next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Cooking up today's lead stories. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Reported time traveler, so very odd that all of these people who claim to be time travelers from different periods in the future have all gone to one YouTube channel, Apex TV, to do their exclusive interviews.
And 1 year.
It's in a matter of months.
Almost like something amazing is about to happen, and they're just coming to watch it.
Or it's almost like Apex TV is just making all this up and getting a whole bunch of views because they get millions and millions of views out of these videos and make money. Almost like that is a thing. This guy, the latest person, a.k.a. some random cab driver they paid money to and blurred out his face, says he's from the year 4000.
Oh.
Which is way out there in the future.
They keep getting further and further away.
I don't know. Can we see 4,000 years away? I guess we can, right? Because we could see the stars, and some of them are so far away that the stars have already just imploded, and they don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Way out there, into the future, or maybe right here in the future. This person named John says he's 132 years old, and that he looks like he's in his 30s or 40s because of some sort of futuristic technology that makes him appear younger, which sounds good to me. I want that. He says, in the future, everybody brace yourselves, please, because this is a stunning realization from the future.
What's happening?
There will be no cats or dogs. Don't catch it off.
What do you mean?
I don't know. They share monotonous stuff with us. I don't know what these people are from 4,000 years into the future, or, you know, the year 4,000. So 2,000 years into the future in this case. And they come back with that. There are no cats or dogs. There's no traffic. I think your pass cars are really cool. I'm driving around my taxi cab. It gave away some more details. I don't know. I don't believe this in the slightest, and I don't think anybody should. What's happening here, what's obviously happening here, is a YouTube channel has found a way to make money off of YouTube's algorithm, which loves conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Including people being from the future, as of late.
The best and enjoyable thing of 4,000 years was one thing.
What?
There was no traffic jam.
No traffic jam, no cats
or
dogs.
I would like to tell you about future gadgets.
All right.
Because, you know, everything depends on them.
It's a bit of an accent, and it's anonymized, but he's saying, I'd like to tell you about future gadgets, because everything depends on them. What is the technology of the future, future man?
Every second, everybody is busy with its phones or planchets, communicates, watches videos, plays games, and etc.
What?
In future, all these devices will be changed into one equipment, which looks like your smartwatches.
Oh, wow. Another great prophecy from the future. We're going to have smartwatches that do everything that our phones do.
Okay. That took us 2,000 years to figure out.
Mm-hmm. We have that.
Well, they just did the Apple Watch. Sabrina has one.
Yeah.
They haven't perfected it. It takes nearly 2,000 years to perfect it.
Mm.
And it's really awesome in the year 4,000.
You wear it on your hands, that it is connected to your brain and only thinking. You can send letters, you can communicate
with your brain,
the help of telepathy, with your friends who are far away. Imagine you to be in constant contact with everybody at the same time.
Ooh.
And what about internet?
What about internet?
In future, it is free of charge.
Come on, find somebody who's a more believable future guy.
Seriously, if they are really going to want to have these videos make some money for them, it's okay to put a little bit of the budget towards hiring some actors.
Yeah.
Or a script writer.
And the idea that you can't even come up with clever things. You could steal them from the Jetsons. Clever things that would be in future. You'd be like, in the future, there is no farming. All of our food is downloaded to a machine and then it just appears in front of you. You can taste things that you watch on your 3D holographic television. You could go on and on and on with simple predictions from based on solely on future movies that you've seen,
mm-hmm,
that are so much better than this, because they got some cab driver and they blur his face and he goes, oh, we're going to have watches and the watches will be your only communication device. And then he's talking about a car company that he owns or owned in the future. And at the car company, there are no employees. It's just a robot.
They already have that.
Yeah.
Carvana.
All of this stuff. We've got all of these things already.
In the future, we're going to have these buttons.
Yeah.
That you put on your refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
And you get the orders more toilet paper.
Well, we have those now. There's these Amazon buttons that you could order, like Tide and toilet paper and stuff.
Yeah, well, you also get the robots that are going to be folding their laundry for you.
We already have that. We talked about that in the GoFundMe.
I want that.
Yeah, that's a thing already.
Then there, wait for this. In the Earth 4000,
yeah,
there's going to be an alarm clock that you just say, stop it, and it snooze for 11 minutes instead of 9.
I think there's already alarm clocks that you can scream at.
Innovations, and I'm from the future.
Okay, future person, here's a question for
Mr.
you.
Mr. Future, please.
Okay, Mr. Future Mafia person.
Yes.
In the year 4000, mm-hmm, is there anything that's more shocking than an Apple Watch or an alarm clock you could scream at?
I will tell you, Stas. First of all, Apple Watch is out the windows. And so are windows. They're out the window.
Hey, you're the most interesting man in the world.
I'm guessing they're from music beds from the future.
Okay, future beds. All right.
Jesus. What was the thing?
You were telling me about the most amazing piece of technology from the future.
Oh, yes. It's a Nokia watch.
Oh, so the Apple Watch is gone. We have a Nokia watch.
We have a Pear watch.
How is healthcare in the future? Like, can Sean and I just kind of zap this thing we've got?
Oh, that'd be great.
Just back to normal?
Unfortunately, no. There's going to be monthly payments are going to be very expensive. But you pay in Bitcoin.
Yeah?
That's right.
You're paying Bitcoin in the future.
Yes, in the self-driving cars.
We already have that now.
They'll be driven by puppies.
Oh.
Yes.
All right.
You're welcome.
Oh.
Because the dogs and cats are out and in cars.
So all of the pets that we have now will be our chauffeurs in the future.
That's right.
So weird, weird world.
Any more questions?
I mean, is there any other jaw-dropping discovery that we're going to be seeing in the year 4000?
I don't know if you're ready.
I think I am, because so far it's been underwhelming.
Okay.
And what it feels like is we worked our asses off for the last 2,000 years to make computers and the internet, and it feels like you got real lazy around the next couple of years and didn't do anything for the next 2,000.
Watch your past mouth! Watch your mouth from 2018. I'm from 4,000, and there's going to be something crazy.
All right.
Jaw-dropping.
I'm ready for it.
You ready?
Yeah.
You sure?
I'm ready!
Turns out
that
people in the year 4000 will be doing cannonballs into pools made of the little poppy things inside of the Amazon packages.
Bubble wrap?
It's bubble wrap. No need for water.
You guys didn't do anything. You spent 2,000 years
masturbating.
As my mom would say, dough dicking around. You spent 2,000 years
dicking around.
Don't think about it too hard. That's it. And you didn't create anything. There's been
What do you want me to create?
I would think in 2,000 years something would happen.
I don't know. All I know is I got to go back to the future.
All right, future
because
man.
I got a lady and a man that looks like a fish from Shape of Water that I am having sex with.
Wow.
There's the future for you.
That is...
all up on your face.
Interesting enlightenment there right at the end. Thank you from the future.
You're welcome.
Bye, future man.
Out of curiosity, future man, does the news junkie exist in the year 4000?
Absolutely not.
Damn it. It's the news junkie on Real Radio.
High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie.
More of your dispatches in just a moment. Oh man, two segments left, and then we can all go relax a little bit, recharge a little bit. You got a gig tonight, I think, Sabrina, with Ross, also from the Jim Colbert Show. He's going to be there.
That's right. I'm doing a comedy show over at Savoy, which is on North Orange Ave, right there by Lake Ivanhoe. It's going to be a good time. Me and Ross and Eric and Tara Lee and Sarah. And it's what's nice about it is like free cover charge. You just go get your laugh on for a little bit and... as far as my sickness goes, I know it's going to be weird for me.
Well, I know a bunch of places around there, but do I know where the Savoy is? What's it by? You said Lake Ivanhoe.
Yeah, it's on that same strip there. Next to it, you'd find... Zeeland, help me out. Come on.
Like Hamburg Lamb and stuff?
If you keep going down and then the Lure, Lucky Lure
Lucky
is
Lure,
by
all
there.
Right, yeah, a little bit past that.
I've never actually been to Savoy, but it's right down past there.
All right.
It's a gay bar.
Right down in that area.
Tonight we'll have comedy.
Savoy, and you're going to be doing stand-up. Ross Padgett is going to be there as well.
Yeah, and the information is on my Facebook if you want to check it out. Facebook.com/Sabrina Ambrose.
There you go. And Jake Paul is back into the news again.
Why?
Because he's very serious now, Sabrina. He's very, very focused on helping out humanity and not finding people hanging in the Hanging Gardens of Japan.
Yeah.
Because that didn't work out well for him. 14 million YouTube subscribers, can't be wrong, or can they? Jake Paul's latest video is about school shootings and he's trying to figure out a way to end school shootings. My favorite thing is how this stuff exposes just how phony these guys' personalities are. Because if you listen to him speak in this, I almost want to just bring up any other Jake Paul video. Can you just find like a random like Jake Paul hype video where he's like, yo, what's up? Jake Paul is he's so excited. He's like a pitch man or something. And his voice sounds a particular way. The reason I want that is because the way he speaks on this video is like a totally different person. He's just sitting there. He's talking like a normal human being. And it exposes how phony the other personality is on the opposite side of this.
There's so many videos.
Just
I feel like, okay, Jake Paul, Daily Life, Day 17, My Life Story.
All right.
Ish.
Let's go!
Something crazy's happening.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but yeah, let's go do it.
This is another rap song by him?
This was April 7, 2015.
Got it.
Turtles are my life. What a beautiful day.
Is this him?
Shine, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, he sounds different there, too.
And this is an old video. This is, it looks like almost prepubescent.
Well, 3 years ago, he sounded like that. Now he's like hype Jake Paul, like, everybody's screaming,
like,
screaming
what
at people.
Up?
And then this is what he sounds like when he wants to be serious, Jake Paul.
They never thought it would happen to them. Parkland, Florida, amazing, like, wealthy community. And people just need to take it seriously and have communications with their principals, with other students, with their parents, on how everyone can get involved to make their school a safer place.
It's time to end school shootings. This video is going to do it. You didn't know it, did you? Jake
Paul. So I met this family who was willing to have us follow their journey as they try to make schools a safer place. And maybe that will help you figure out how you want to help or how you want to get involved.
So he goes and meets some family impacted by this. Oh, my child was in the school. He's like, we need to get bulletproof rooms.
His resolution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he got paid for that.
Probably.
He got a fat paycheck for that.
Yeah, if he didn't donate the views to charity, or if YouTube puts views on, if YouTube allows views on the video, it'll likely get 6 to 8 million views at least.
Jake isn't the one that made the video in the Hanging Forest, right? It was Logan.
Oh, you're right. It was Logan Paul, his brother.
That's why he sounds different. Oh, looks different.
Jake's the one that he has these weird ass videos that he really tries to clickbait people, like my first time having sex, and it's not him losing his virginity at all. It's just like talking about
how, okay, so hold on. I'm trying to figure out where to channel the hate here. Logan Paul is the really, really obnoxious one who's been in all this trouble.
You're much more punchable.
Is Jake Paul, he's the younger brother.
Yes.
And Jake Paul is this one that's doing the thing about the shooting at this school.
Right.
And if he's got, he never even had his ad promotion system shut down like his brother did.
No.
So he'll probably make tens of thousands of dollars.
It's got 2.3 million views already.
Does it?
I'm going by most popular and sorting through his hundreds of videos. The top one has 183 million from 9 months ago.
And then merch links. And
I mean, you go down several videos, and I'm still looking at 11 million views, 13 million views, 10 million views. I mean, they are making...
Oh, yeah.
So much money off of stupidness.
Especially him right now. And they go through this whole thing. He doesn't talk about guns at all. I mean, he doesn't know what he's doing. And he's not really even trying. Some people still believe this stuff. Here's the thing that gets me. C-Lane says everything's a clickbait video. Oh, my God, I lost my virginity. Oh, my God, I can't believe we were cleaning a gun and it went off. And they do all these things that promise something and then the video doesn't deliver. But 10 million kids still come back to see if the next video is going to actually finally deliver?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I mean, some of them are just his music videos.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's...
telling my friend he's getting deported.
Oh, that's kind.
Jake Paul saying litmus 10,000 times in a row. Just kidding, 1,000 times, but we wanted to put 10.
How many views on that video?
This one has 78.
78?
78 views, that's it?
I think this is not his channel.
Yeah, that can't be his.
I actually bought a puppy, not clickbait, he wrote in lowercase letters. Yeah. 11 million views.
When you have to put that out there, it means that it probably has been for far too long and that you're not actually looking to be part of any solutions here, especially when it comes to an issue like the school shootings. We'll see what happens with that tomorrow. As I said, there's going to be all these nationwide, there's going to be all these high school and middle school walkouts where kids are just stepping out starting at 10 a.m. So on the East Coast, for your kids here in the state of Florida, if their class and their school is going to participate in this, they'll be stepping out at 10 a.m. And then we'll see the central time zone, of course, at 11 a.m., 10 a.m. their time. And then on through the time zones as we go across the country. So from 10 to, what, 2 o'clock or whatever, we're going to have all these moments right during the center of the day where you'll see the chopper footage of these kids outside their schools. Those kids have done a lot more, especially the ones from this Stoneman Douglas High School, to make some kind of action happen on gun control than the Paul brothers ever will, I think, to say the least. They have other motives and agendas there. The U.S. Border Patrol has released what they call a propaganda video. Others say it's just a video that tells you the realities of the wall that the president wants and his supporters want along our border with Mexico. And you have this woman out there, and she's reading like a script or whatever, and she's talking all about the wall, and there's visuals of what this wall is going
to
look like.
What does it mean, and what does it take to secure the border? More people, more technology, maybe a border wall, like the one between the United States and Mexico.
It's from U.S. Customs.
It's been a subject of nearly a million news articles and hundreds of speeches. But do walls really work? And if so, how? As a Border Patrol agent, I can tell you, walls do work.
This reminds me of more exciting. This needs fireworks. This needs echoes, sound effects.
I got you.
There's no swooshes.
Physical infrastructure existed on our 2,000-mile-long border with Mexico. Vast areas are wide open, totally vulnerable. Today's threats,
oh, yeah. It's already
like terrorism,
better.
Drug trafficking, human smuggling, demand sensible and proven responses.
Oh, that made it awkward.
Consider San Diego. In 1992, agents in San Diego sector...
God, it's hard to even help it with all the sound effects you spent so much money on over there. Well, that's why it has just a few thousand views right now. There are people who are very excited about this wall. I think the wall is not going to look quite like they expected to. This needs to be something that's far more broad than people are discussing. To suggest that we don't need any kind of immigration policy in this country is, I think, dim-witted and not in touch with what's happening. But to suggest that the simplistic answer, kind of like that video is going for, just one big wall, we'll be okay. That'll solve all of our problems. Maybe that's why it's not really getting the attention they were hoping for on that YouTube video. Just get one of the Paul brothers involved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
all the views right there. Quickly, before the break, that Powerball winner who challenged the New Hampshire lottery's rule that she must identify herself to collect her money won, at least on a temporary basis here, the right to stay anonymous. This woman has won $358 million and says, I don't want to tell people who I am. I'm worried about getting robbed. I'm worried about being killed. I'm worried about people starting to beg and treating me differently.
Makes sense.
Totally makes sense. The court said we're still going to fight this out, but for now she can remain anonymous. And I hope that this is a precedent for other lottery systems where people do not have to identify themselves when they win a large swath of cash. Because I know I wouldn't. And if you've done anything in terms of research of past lottery winners, you'll probably think the same damn thing. It doesn't go well for a lot of these people, and many of them are taken advantage of by those around them. And that anonymity would be very important if you wanted to keep some sort of normal life after winning hundreds of millions of dollars. Back with your final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Tuesday. When we come back, stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
At Real Radio 104.1 on Twitter, brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
Radio. 104.1.
stick around long enough and you'll suffer through one of his Aquaman stories like the rest of us. This is the News Junkie.
Final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today I'll wrap everything up for a Tuesday. Don't forget, this Friday, a big, fat, live show, the day before St. Patrick's Day. We're going to bring it full force. I'll be drinking, partying, having a good time. There'll be games there that we'll do live on air on the show from 11 to 3 at Elixir on Washington and Orange, downtown Orlando. Those of you who show up, the first couple hundred, you're going to get limited edition magnets for the event. That will be so you can play a game of magnets, hang out, watch the fun happen, win some prizes, and just get sloshy with us. It should be a messy, delicious, fantastic experience for those of you listening at home or those of you who are nice enough to show up at Elixir, spend some time drinking with us on Friday before St. Patrick's Day. Should be a good, fun weekend. So, I mean, we figure, look, everybody's kind of down for the count today. I don't know. I'm speaking for myself here, especially right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At this point, just kind of dragging. I'm going to go recharge, going to get some stuff together and plan for some of the games, some of the prizes on Friday. And then we'll have a bang-up show tomorrow and Thursday. And Friday is going to be absolutely unbelievable. So I want to see your faces out there. Swing by and hang out with us at Elixir the day before St. Patrick's Day for our live broadcast this Friday from 11 to 3 o'clock.
St. Patrick's Day. Got it.
Do you know that? Are you following that?
What?
Am I following what?
See, she wants it to be called St. Patrick's Day.
You know, it would be crazy to think that there's one idea you guys would be on board with.
Oh, get out of here. Like, all your ideas aren't supported around
support
here.
Support this one.
I would support it if it doesn't come off the tongue very nice. St. Patfickles. I feel like I'm doing something wrong when I say that. St.
We
Practice
are
going to
be
Day.
Doing a lot of wrong things that day.
That's correct. That's a good tie-in.
Thank you.
But St. Patrick's Day, all right, St. Practice Day, I like. Friday, okay. St. Patfickle. The drunker I get, the harder that's going to be to say. Are you going to tell me, if we're sitting there broadcasting and we're at like 6 or 7 on the scoreboard on Friday and we're way into things and we have to keep saying St. Patrick's, you're not going to screw that up?
I probably will, but that'll be along with all the other words I screw up.
And maybe it turns into a challenge itself. All right, let's take that to a vote tomorrow maybe and see what we officially call the broadcast. And I'll abide by the votes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll abide by them. If the vote, if the people voting say St. Patrick's, full in, promoting it, shaping it all around that, and that'll stick. If not, we'll see what other direction we go in. But regardless, it's going to be an awesome show, and we want to see you out there. Get those magnets by showing up early, hanging out with us on Friday for the broadcast. I was just watching Marine One, which is the president's helicopter, which was taken off from somewhere, I don't know, the White House or whatever. There's been a lot going on today with people being fired. Head of the CIA swapped out with the Secretary of Defense, Tillerson, and then somebody replaced that person. There's a bunch of stuff. There's moving pieces in the Trump administration today. And so they're focused on Marine One. And I'm watching out in front of this thing. The first thing I notice is how big those bulletproof doors are on that damn chopper. Yeah. The second thing I notice is they've got one Secret Service person in particular. And I don't know if he's like the Secret Service manager or what he is, but he was out there and he was sort of doing this with his hands. Like he had a coat on and he had his hands out with his fingers like this, like out at a distance. To almost to where it looked like he had fake guns in his hand. It was really weird.
That is weird.
So I don't know what they're doing. I know they have earpieces in, right? That's like the whole trope from the movies.
They also have the microphones in their wrists,
right.
The cufflinks.
They bring it up close, and they'll whisper, and then they get the word back in the ear. They put their fingers to the ear.
Maybe he forgot his gun at home and just wants everyone to think he still has it on him.
He's just trying to pretend. That could be the case. I don't know what he was doing. It's really weird to watch. And I guess that particular person... is somebody else has been fired? They fired like 4 people today in the Trump administration. There's a bunch of people that are just walking out the front door today and trying to find another gig right now.
The turnover rate at the White House is just like a regular mom-and-pop restaurant.
It is.
TGI Fridays.
Yeah, this is like a revolving door of personnel over there. Trump's personal aide fired. You had, of course, Tillerson fired. Tillerson's personal aide, I think, was also fired for some message.
Who was the guy that tweeted it out?
That guy got fired. Oh, yeah. That guy. That was Tillerson's aide who got fired. Trump's personal aide got fired for some financial crime investigation that's underway. There's a lot of turnover today. Let's get to these dispatches. That's more important. Let's see what's on your mind, and we'll start off right over here with Sir Lance quite a bit.
Sean, you got way too excited when Mr. Future was talking about having sex with his fish boyfriend. Like, you got a problem, man.
I thought it was an interesting scenario that in the future there's some sort of weird interspecies threesome that's happening. I don't want to have sex with a fish. That's the last thing I want to do. Here's Smalls.
I say you guys name the Friday show that day.
Yeah.
After the man who's been so much help lately.
Who's that?
Just call it St. Patrick's Day.
Ooh.
Nice ring to it.
You know?
And I don't know. I just kind of like it. And that guy's awesome.
That's in the mix too. St. Patrick's, St. Patrick's, St. Practice, St. Pat Fickle. So there's four in the running. And then just Friday. Friday's up there as well. I don't know if that's going to catch fire. Here's Jeff G.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to let you guys know that Game of Magnets may have just saved someone's life. I slowed down a little bit to scan a parking lot that may or may not have been beside the road that I was traveling on. I looked up, and there was a car coming at me in my lane. Had I not slowed down, probably would have hit him head on in my big old truck. Game of Magnets for the win.
All right. Take any of the good press we can get. Here's Boost Junkie.
Hey, Sean, man. You need to go to the hospital and get checked out. You can't die. Without you, the show is not the same. You three people together are hilarious. You make a great show. When you're apart, it's not the same. Stay alive, man.
I'm not dying. Nobody's dying. Everybody's going to be fine.
Maybe dying a little bit.
I think I'm going to be all right. My fake abs are hurting so bad, though.
NamiBradshaw.com has asked me to tell you it's important to stay hydrated.
Yeah.
Drink enough water.
I got water right here.
But also a simple saline nose spray will keep your nasal passages hydrated so you don't catch germs easily.
On the regular, I got to do that?
Yes.
Oh.
Simple one.
I just have to add it to my repertoire in the morning, and then it'll catch on. Because I forget that stuff sometimes. Let's see what's going on. Here's Slow Ninja.
Hey, News Junkie and crew. That thing Sabrina said about animals typically won't eat a lot of prey that's lame or ill is true for a lot of mammals and warm-blooded animals. But your cold-blooded animals, like your turtles and your reptiles and amphibians and stuff like that, they don't care.
They're not smart enough?
If you ever go fishing with shiners or other fish, turtles will eat just sour, nasty parts of fish that have been cleaned and sitting in a bucket for days and just getting sour and nasty. That would make me or you get deathly ill.
And they're fine?
Turtles will eat that up. They don't care.
He's right, because you think about fish, they go after fake bait.
But alligators won't go after something that is dead or that it doesn't want.
They'll go after stinky dead stuff because from my experience of watching Swamp People, the show on History Channel where they catch all the alligators, they put up a stinky-ass piece of chicken and let it just dangle there for a couple of days and then go back and get it.
Ugh.
But I thought that if an alligator bit an animal and then realized that the animal was dead, then the alligator wouldn't finish eating the animal because it would worry about getting sick. Maybe these animals don't get sick from the food that is bad like we do. Maybe they got something inside them that can process these things so they don't get worms and diseases and stuff. Here's Renegade.
Hey, News Junkies. This is Renegade 007 again, outside of the car, so my noise level should be acceptable.
Sounds good.
I get notices for live trivia every day, but I don't have a button to push to be able to play live trivia.
Oh, no.
What am I doing wrong, or is my News Junkie app not functioning correctly? I'm out. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Renegade. Let me show you how to do this. So you tap the News Junkie app icon. The app loads once you've got an account set up to your profile screen where you can see how many views your profile has, how many dispatches you've sent, and how many people are following you. You can follow other people by searching around through there. You see the countdown time, which is currently 22 hours until live trivia. When that goes down to zero, a different button will show up there, and it'll say play. So you watch it count down to zero, then you hit play. Now, that's going to change soon, so it's just easier, and everybody in the app is kind of pushed along into live trivia. That's one of many changes on the way. But you can check all that out right there on your home screen. And in the top right, the settings section, if you're not getting those alerts, you can turn on or turn off all the alerts. Like, I would recommend everybody who's a Secret Show subscriber to make sure your Secret Shows alerts are on. Your general alerts, that's just everything that we push out, which is not very often at all. Your live trivia alerts are each day, of course, right before live trivia, which will be tuned up to be a little closer in terms of the actual time the trivia takes place very, very soon. So hopefully that helps, Al. Let me know if there's any further problems, sir. Let's get to Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Tuesday, March 13th, 2018. Seven stories, abba-dabba-dabba-dabba. Good credit goes to Reddit and the Today I Learned section. C-Lane on the year, 80 points. Sabrina, still curiously stuck at 69 points.
Curious.
Four more points up for grabs today as we start off with this one. Today I learned this female singer.
Olivia Newton-John.
That is incorrect.
Barbra Streisand.
That is incorrect. Some Cardi sexy B. music.
Oh, Sade.
That's correct. Sade, Sade, however you say her name.
Longe.
Sade.
S-A-D-E is how you spell it. Her Diamond Life album sold over 6 million copies, making her the best-selling debut by a British female vocalist. By the time she performed her very first live show, she was so popular that the thing sold out. They turned away like 1,000 people at the door. And it must be weird that before you ever even perform live, you're super famous. That's how her career has worked out for her. She's got new album or new music out as of the last couple of weeks, too. Today I learned that eating too many pine nuts at once can give you something called a pine mouth, where everything you eat has a bitter or metallic taste, even candy. Mm. The condition of pine mouth from eating too many pine nuts can last up to 2 weeks. Also, if you can get pine mouth, you must have some money, because I know pine nuts are very, very expensive.
What if you eat a pine cone?
Pine cones are what contains the pine nuts. However, they are plentiful and I think very, very cheap.
Pine sol?
Pine sol is the best of the bunch. Really gives you a kick when you put that one down. Today I learned there was a serial killer, or a spree killer. This one, a British woman by the name of Joanna Dennehy, who called a friend after not her first, not her second, but her third murder, and decided to sing a little song to her friend, this song.
Oh, gosh. Come on, what?
Oops, I did it again is correct. That's the song she sang to her friend on the phone after killing her third victim. She phoned her friend and sang it down the line.
That's crazy.
It's very weird. Only she knows for sure while she embarked on the killing spree, but police believe the best explanation is she was simply just having fun. I watched a weird show last night. If you guys haven't seen The Killing of Gianni Versace.
Yeah, I'm not through the season yet.
Oh, I thought it was just the first. There's only one episode in the thing I was watching.
The American Crime Story?
No. The one so they must be released in tandem with each other. This one was just like a documentary about the whole thing. That's an interesting story.
Absolutely. And the American Crime Story is awesome. Like Ryan Murphy's best work. I don't know. Debatable, but one of his best work.
I didn't know that the guy who killed him killed all those other people.
Yeah, a gay serial killer.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story, if you haven't seen it. Today, Kiefer Sutherland's full name is Kiefer William Frederick Dempsey George Rufus Sutherland.
The Aristocrats.
That's his entire name. He goes by Kiefer Sutherland, you know, for various reasons. Today, most Germans sing this song right here.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday is correct. And Germans sing happy birthday in English, but with a German accent.
That's not right.
Rather than singing it in German. I don't know why.
Happy birthday
exactly
to
like that.
You.
When you trace it back, it was all written by a songstress named Patty Hill, who is also a kindergarten teacher.
Who got no royalties from that, I'm sure.
I don't think she got too much, but they eventually brought it on over to Warner.
It was Good Morning to You, I think.
Was it?
When she was a teacher.
Good Morning to All when she was a teacher. And finally, today I learned the basis for this band. Here
I go. Oh, you too.
Is it correct?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That is correct. She clearly wants to stay at
Flea.
She's going to stay for the rest of the year.
You don't know me.
Today I learned Flea, the bassist for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, keeps over 200,000 bees in his backyard. What does he call them?
What?
Bees.
Flea's bees.
Flea's bees is what he calls them.
Oh, Flea.
He does it to put in his effort to save the honeybee population. Thank you so much for listening. We're back tomorrow for the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Phillips Files coming up next, followed by a Corporate Time with Tom and Dan. And guess what? It's all coming up right here on Real Radio.
$1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.